console. I'm going to get more into this tomorrow. There's so much evidence. It's really coming out. I want to nail it. So I'm going to have a lot for you on this tomorrow, maybe even today. A special report. But here it is. Here's some of the headlines. What to know about Tim Walz's 1995 drunk driving charge, Time Magazine. And it goes into the article. He says he quit drinking then, but then he got kicked out of the school. He got suspended, but they blacked it out. It's reportedly coming out that had something to do with students. Continuing here, Tim Walz, again, black insurrectionist, is doing a good job investigating this, has the school records on that whole front right here. And then 25 years ago, a gay student who sought support, his school turned to Tim Walz. So that's the New York Times. That's what he does. And he's not trying to put tampon dispensers in boys' bathrooms. And you've obviously got him out here saying he's a great shot, a big hunter. He thinks you load shotgun shells in the back of the butt of a shotgun that's loaded from the bottom. Just totally insane video. Everybody's already seen that. Just really, really crazy information that is now starting to come out on that front. And then just to show you who the Pentagon and the military hires in Afghanistan and other areas is pedophiles to actually be the mayors, because they use them to control them. That's PBS.org. Military overlooked sexual abuse by Afghan allies. Investigation says, you read deeper, they actually supplied them with the children. Afghan pedophiles get free pass from U.S. military, report says, New York Times. Afghan cable show deep corruption, dancing boys, The Atlantic. Severe child abuse disguises an Afghan custom. Foreign contractors hired Afghan dancing boys to satisfy the Afghan leaders. The German experiment that placed foster children with pedophiles, 30,000 of them. That's New Yorker magazine. This shows what our government does. The CIA was involved. Berlin abuse scandal, a powerful network of pedophiles extended far into the authorities, supplied 30,000 children to them as part of a U.S. government-funded operation. Germany investigating 30,000 potential suspects in pedophile probe for 30,000 children placed with pedophiles in West Germany. Belgian pedophile scandal, the authorities cover up the scope. It just goes into it. My point is that, you know, this Dennis Hastert type crap is absolutely everywhere. King forced a step down. Pedophile scandal, just one of many. Belgium's confidence crisis is deepening. Turned out judges, the police, the government were involved in that. Jimmy Savile. Obviously, you've got King Charles involved in all that. I mean, this is the cult, folks. Wonder why they're so evil. This is just one of their rites of passages to be in their disgusting, sick club. And you've got Tim Walz going on TV saying it's wrong to ban hardcore pro-pedophile propaganda from elementary and middle schools and high schools. You've got him abortion after birth at 9+ months. You've got Tim Walz pushing transgenderism to chop little boys' penises off and little girls' breasts off. That's beyond just raping them. And that's all part of this corruption of the children system that they're pushing. So as far as I'm concerned, Tim Walz does just have all the earmarks of it. This guy's a monster, and it's all starting to come out, and they're trying to keep his record secret. They are desperate to keep that information from the public. And that's why they're so mad at me and Hillary's so mad at me for the WikiLeaks documents that we've amplified and boosted. You know, she said specifically it was InfoWars with those documents that were real, with John Podesta and the rest of them, and the kids being delivered to, quote, for their entertainment, 7, 8, and 9, to the hot tub at a wooded cabin in upstate New York. You know, all that has never been addressed properly. And the Aleister Crowley rituals that they talk about and all the rest of it. And now more and more of this is coming out. And as Hillary said, 2016, Alex Jones at InfoWars, magnifying the stuff that was in the documents. That's why they hate me, because I'm willing to go on air and cover stuff other people are scared to cover. And I've been right about 98% of the time. And usually when I'm wrong, it's worse than what I had previously said. So I just scratched the surface here. But the fact is, Walz is a communist Chinese agent, Confucian Society, all the earmarks of that. So many of the Democrats are. So it's all there. And they want fully compromised, blackmailable, controllable people. Look at Biden and his daughter saying he raped her, you know, had sex with her in the shower. And of course, they said that.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Get your dispatch on the other side.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, the alexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at the alexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at the alexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at the alexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
It's Tuesday, October 15th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith.
It's jam.
Coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas on this Tuesday morning. The Ides of October. Is it the Ides if there's 31 days? I don't know. Interesting night last night. For me personally, Owen Schroyer, of course, debated Destiny, and it was something else, folks. It was something else. Hugely entertaining, obviously. Also hugely frustrating, just because you have to listen to Destiny. And I wanted to get clips out of it and went to the YouTube channel to bring it all down, but the video is private now, so I don't know if it's going to be reposted somewhere or how we can get our hands on that full video. But we have some clips from it I'll show you. But, oh, man, just something about listening to leftists or liberals, people like Destiny especially. I'm just like, I'm snapping at my wife and kids because she's got the headphone in. I'm listening to it. I'm just getting so angry. I'll just be like, oh, hey, do you mind passing? I'm like, what? What do you want me to pay? I'm sorry. I got something. I got Destiny in my ear. It's just not making any sense, and it's pissing me off. I'm getting a little worked up about it, just thinking about it right now. And I want to respond to some of the things that he said, because if you watched it, Destiny's an interesting character because he does online debates all the time. That's like his thing. So he's very aware of what the right-wing online internet culture is like, so he tailors his argument so that he's not saying typical MSM talking point kind of stuff. He knows that that's all nonsense and the right wingers will just tear it apart with ease, right? He didn't bring up abortion right off the bat. He doesn't talk about saving democracy necessarily, which is good strategy because all of the arguments from the mainstream media and the Democrat Party are ridiculous and can be just easily dismantled for, you know, by any moderately intelligent person. So he avoids those arguments and uses arguments that no one else uses. The problem is no one else uses those arguments because they're also bad, if not worse, arguments than the mainstream media arguments. His argument basically was that Kamala Harris has just proven that she is a loyal, you know, talking head of the regime. Basically, just she's proven that she will follow orders and do as she's told for the wider governmental apparatus to, you know, continue its operation. And the reason I want to bring it up, first of all, is to dunk on him and mock him for looking like a background character from Pepper Ann or something. He's dressed up like an edgy middle schooler. So that's obviously worth taking to the air for that alone. But also, just to point out the utter vacuousness, the emptiness, the total lack of conviction in absolutely every argument he makes. So we'll have to get some. So Owen did a great job, you know, debating him. But when you're up there on the debate stage, it's a lot more difficult than what we can do here, which is like, you know, play a chunk of Destiny where he's just rattling things off, listing things off. And we can go through point by point by point and talk about how it's not just wrong, it's like delusional and deceptive in a way that you can only do in retrospect or with a video rather than on stage. But we'll show you some videos from that. That was interesting. Then, I don't even know if I should say it. All right, we either have a product or are going to have a product very soon. And I was sent home with a sample of this, thinking it was just a, almost like a vitamin mineral fusion type of, you know, vitamins and minerals and just healthy stuff to help make up for the lack of nutrients in the food and water and air that we breathe. Everything we consume is just completely destroyed nutritionally, and so this will make up for it. What I didn't realize is it gives you incredible energy. So I drank it at night and then laid in bed from about 8 p.m. till about 2 a.m. just going, what did I drink a Red Bull after dinner? And I'm like, oh, wait, the meal replacement thing. And I'd like to say what it is, but I don't know if the crew can give me. It's either something we're selling or about to sell. Okay. All right. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm drinking it again today because it gives you incredible energy. And just stay tuned. We are. So I can say it. I don't want to be plugging something that can say, okay, it's called Optimal Human, and it's amazing. It was incredible. Again, just, I don't know. I didn't realize how much pure, powerful energy it gives you. So just be careful. It's powerful stuff. Use advisedly. See, I just thought it was going to be vitamins and minerals. Instead, it's just incredible energy, Optimal Human. There it is. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Yeah, so I got a canister of that, put a scoop in, and here's what you do. Here's what I did. About half a lemon worth of lemon juice. Get some lemon juice, put in the Optimal Human, because the Optimal Human taste is kind of, it just tastes kind of like a weak black tea, kind of. I don't know if you ever had health drinks before. It's good by itself. Like, it tastes good. It's not something that you have to, like, cover up. But, man, I added some lemon juice, and it was actually delicious. And then it kept me up all night because it was incredibly good energy. So if you need some energy and want to make up for the lack of nutrients in the modern food supply, make your way to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get yourself some Optimal Human. It really is powerful stuff. And, again, I'm drinking it this morning. Okay, all right, that was my night last night, getting pissed off at Destiny, just lying repeatedly to Owen, and Owen defeating him handily, and then trying Optimal Human and realizing it was too powerful, and I went in blind. Okay, let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Okay, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 15th of October, 2024. Boeing to issue layoff notices to thousands next month, union and sources say. Boeing will send 60-day notices in mid-November to staff being made redundant as part of a plan announced last week to cut 17,000 jobs, the debt-laden plane maker, an engineer union spokesperson, and one industry source said on Monday. The worker adjustment and retraining notifications, which gives workers 60 days notice prior to ending their employment, will be issued to thousands of employees in Boeing's commercial aviation division, who will then leave the company in mid-January, a source familiar with the matter told Reuters. They're asking for a sizable bailout, because otherwise, how will they be able to continue to threaten our ability to fly by very unwise DEI programs that choose the most diverse rather than the most qualified to build the things that fly us through the sky at 500 miles per hour? It was a bad idea. It's still a bad idea. They could reform and succeed, but that's not what BlackRock demands. So we'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris has been accused of plagiarism in a co-authored 2009 book on criminal reform. Vice President Kamala Harris is facing allegations of plagiarism after numerous passages from the Democrat presidential nominee's 2009 book, Smart on Crime, were discovered to closely resemble or perfectly match wording from other sources. Harris, then San Francisco's district attorney, wrote the book promoting a reform-minded approach to prosecuting crimes, along with ghostwriter Joan O.C. Hamilton, who told the Post when contacted Monday that she was surprised to learn about the alleged copying. And we'll get back into that in just a little bit. And of course, it's kind of typical, but we'll show you the way this is being reported by the left-wing media as an unhinged attack by conservatives who are cherry-picking passages of her book to attack poor Kamala Harris. Just like, well, she plagiarized a book, and we're showing you the passages from that, but frame it however you want. So we're gonna look at the very subtle rhetorical devices that are used to sway huge numbers of people, millions of people. We'll get back into that. Meanwhile, from Zero Hedge, U.S. military now authorized to kill Americans on U.S. soil. Just ahead, intriguingly, of the November elections, the U.S. military has granted itself permission to unleash lethal force on civilian populations in cases of national security emergency. Via Green Med Info, I guess it's also called Armageddon Pros, as the U.S. prepares for one of the most controversial and closely watched elections in its history, a concerning update to DOD Directive 5240.01 has quietly been put into effect. Reissued on September 27, 2024, this directive governs the Department of Defense's intelligence activities and now includes provisions authorizing lethal force in circumstances when assisting civilian law enforcement. While the directive forbids assassination, it opens the door to lethal interventions under national security conditions. And we will return to this, but yes, it's just as extreme as it sounds. The U.S. government basically giving itself a license to kill anybody under the guise of national security. So they already do it. Don't get me wrong. There's already multiple examples in just the last few years of the FBI showing up at someone's house. Sometimes a person who would reasonably be incapable of posing any threat to the FBI, like a person who's in a wheelchair, has no mobility, is not armed at the time, and yet they end up shot to death by the FBI. The investigation then goes nowhere. Nobody's punished. Nobody's held to account. No reason, no valid reason is ever given, and they just get killed. They just get killed by the government. So I guess what the government is doing now is getting rid of the inconvenience of having these types of activities questioned or limited by any legal ramifications at all. They're just going to murder and call it national security from now on. We'll get back to that. Meanwhile, NATO conducts nuclear exercise after Russia warning. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization on Monday launched a nuclear exercise involving dozens of aircraft flying over southern Europe, which come on the heels of Russian President Vladimir Putin's suggestion that Moscow would change its doctrine determining how it would use nuclear weapons. The annual two-week exercise, dubbed Steadfast Noon, has been long planned and involves aircraft capable of carrying U.S. nuclear warheads, but does not involve any live weapons, the alliance said in a statement. However, the drills follow tension between NATO and Moscow, which has spiked further after Putin announced last month a shift in Russia's nuclear doctrine to consider any assault on it supported by nuclear power as a joint attack. It raises the prospects that this could include Ukraine, which is backed by Western allies and their weapons amid the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war that began in February 2022. So again, we'll get back into what's happening in Ukraine today, as it is a terrifying warning of what may very well come to American shores sooner rather than later. This is the problem when you're ruled by a class of elites that is genuinely and civilizationally suicidal. You've got Russia issuing warnings about changing nuclear doctrine in an attempt, in my opinion, to, you know, warn NATO that, like, they're playing with fire and they need to pump the brakes a little bit, and this could all spiral out of control really quickly, so let's really be considerate about our actions. And NATO takes that as a challenge and then aggressively responds in kind. So, you know, we got an issue here that we're ruled by people who don't seem to take threats to our safety seriously because they genuinely don't care about the countries over which they preside. It's very dangerous. Finally, we have this. UN agency calls for 600 million migrants to be shipped to the U.S. and Canada. Well, it's a start. No, I mean, it's a good start. 600 million. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket to the potential number of migrants. But yeah, we'll have to start with 600 million and then maybe a billion and then maybe 2 billion. And then maybe at that point, when 2 billion people from India and China and Africa swarm into North America and Europe, maybe that'll be enough. Maybe at that point, there won't even be a reason to come here anymore. So, you know, that's the way they're fighting immigration, ending immigration by just making everywhere equally terrible. So just stay put. You might as well stay put. Alex Jones broke that down on Monday. And it's just a reminder that in addition to all of the problems caused by immigration, all of the crime and the, you know, people eating pets and et cetera, the real threat is just the overwhelming number of people that can just endlessly flow into first world nations. Just it is a biological weapon. The people are being used as a biological weapon, and we're choosing not to stop that attack. It's a choice we're making to allow that to continue unabated forever, or at least until, you know, until there's enough of them, I guess. I guess at a certain point, maybe 2 billion, maybe 3 billion, who knows, 5 billion. At a certain point, it'll all be over. It'll absolutely all be over. Speaking of invasion, and in this case, taking a trip up north, Canada is having a bit of trouble with its Indian population, which has skyrocketed in the very recent past. Again, I just want to emphasize, I want to make clear, I want to remind all of our audience of just the sheer number of Indian people. I just want to make sure you're aware of just how many Indian people there are, and there are new ones every day. It's like 1.2 billion people in India. So feasibly, you could send 1 million Indian people to every single country on Earth, and there would still be 1 billion people in India. Okay, so is just everywhere going to be India? Is that what's going to happen as we move forward? That just every country is going to be colonized by India? Is that the plan? Is that the plan we're working on? Because it's already causing big problems in New Hampshire. Yeah, here you go. There's your, I don't know, the C train to Brooklyn. There's the Amtrak from Cleveland to Cincinnati, circa 2045. It's a bit of an issue. And not just the sheer number causing problems like in New Hampshire, where, you know, tourists flock to see the fall colors, to see the leaves change, beautiful, rustic, distinctly American celebration of the changing of the seasons in the Northeast. And it's not so pleasant anymore. There's lots of reports out. It's just these like woodland trails, and there's just 10,000 Indian people swarming through the woods. And it's like, this isn't what we expected. I don't know if the crew can find that. I meant to grab the story yesterday, but yeah, like all of New Hampshire is like, we can't handle this influx of tourists. There has to be a limit at some point. But it's okay. It's okay, folks. Nothing is too important to stand in the way of the immigration suicide that we're committing. There's nothing that can crop up that can make people in power say, okay, it's not worth it. They think it's all worth it. It's worth it. Destroy everything, just everything, as long as immigration never ends. But again, it's not even, you know, the numbers are one thing. What then happens once they're here is entirely different. Canada expels top India diplomats, links them to murder of Sikh leader. Okay, so Canada has expelled six Indian diplomats, including the High Commissioner on Monday, linking them to the murder of a Sikh separatist leader and alleging a broader effort to target Indian dissidents in Canada. Earlier in the day, India retaliated by ordering the expulsion of six high-ranking Canadian diplomats, including the acting High Commissioner, and said it has withdrawn its envoy from Canada, contradicting Canada's statement of expulsion. So you've got six official Indian diplomats being associated with the murder of an Indian separatist in Canada. So an Indian civil war is now breaking up on Canadian soil with high-ranking Indian diplomats apparently involved in some sort of murder plot for Sikh terrorists that are in Canada. If it sounds absurd to you, it's because it is. It is absurd. This is absurd that this is even a problem and that it's not being solved but actually exacerbated. We can go to Alex Cargill at Trans Splendor on X for a more complete breakdown. Clip number one, here is Alex Cargill.
All right, guys, it looks like we got a game of Khalistani Cowboys and Indians on our hand. The RCMP has just come out warning Canadians to, you know, shelter in place if you're a Khalistani, because India is on the warpath with hitmen and organized squads going out, taking retribution. I don't know who to blame in this whole affair, because Canada has been a safe haven for Khalistani separatists for a very long time. If you don't think it's bizarre for people to come over here en masse, do their little motorcades about Khalistan and foreign flags that they want a home back home and they're marshalling here to organize that for themselves. It's all very bizarre to let this stuff happen. Everyone who's advocating for separatism from India but doing it from Canada has absolutely no respect for our sovereignty, and that's inevitable. It's going to happen that India is going to come over and deal with this, because what are you going to do? Let them gather and form terrorist squads over here as a safe haven? In the 80s, they were a safe haven for Khalistani separatist terrorists that were killing or attemptedly killing Indian diplomats that came over. It was only because the guy played dead that they didn't actually kill him. So it's been happening for decades, but we're just cool with it. Not only are we cool with it, we pander to it. You're pandering to these people, as we are a safe haven, and we've now become a proxy war ground for people that want their own country in India, yet fight about it in Canada. That's out of control immigration, that's zero leadership, and it's zero pride in your own country. If no one's mad about this, that they're settling their grievances on our soil because we've allowed it to become terrorist hotspot over here, then you guys have no idea. And you're not going to get out of it with Pierre. We're only going to get out of this by building something ourselves that is totally Canada first and Canada only. So don't think that this will end with, you know, Justin Trudeau resigning or something. Pierre wants direct flights to Amritsar. It's going to be great for the Sikhs to come over here and plan more terrorist events in India, which India will inevitably respond to with hits on those terrorists. Good Lord.
Yeah, good Lord. Yeah, good Lord. At Trans Splendor, that's Alex Cargill. The government now has, quote, clear and compelling evidence that agents of the government of India have engaged in and continue to engage in activities that pose a significant threat to public safety, Trudeau said at a news conference. These activities involved clandestine information gathering techniques, coercive behavior, targeting South Asian Canadians, and involvement in over a dozen threatening and violent acts, including murder. The RCMP said earlier in a news conference that the government of India had undertaken a broad campaign against Indian dissidents, including homicides and extortion. Just why? Just why? Why would you import this? Why is this a problem the Canadian government is having to deal with at all? Is everything just going great? Is everything in Canada just top-notch? Everybody's fine? They're like, you know what we could use some blood feuds from India and diplomats murdering terrorists on Canadian soil. We don't have enough problems,
folks,
yet.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, away, but you are keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com. Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization for private labeling. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Dire warning about climate change.
A dire warning.
A dire warning.
A dire warning.
Dire new warning.
Dire warning.
Another dire warning. The situation is dire.
A dire warning.
Dire consequences.
A dire warning.
It sounds dire. What prompted this warning?
We have a global emergency.
It's here. It's man-made, and there are going to be dire results.
The government issued its most dramatic report yet about climate change today, and it came with a dire warning.
A stark warning.
A warning to humanity.
An existential threat to human civilization on this planet.
Experts say that we have until 2030 to avoid catastrophe.
And we, the scientists also tell us, have 12 years in which to answer that question. 12 years within which to act.
The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
We have 12 years to turn this around.
By the year 2030,
That's just 12 years from now.
The future is closer than we think and is not good.
There will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Time is running out to prevent global warming from reaching a catastrophic milestone.
Sea levels rising.
Extreme drought.
Severe storms.
Widespread fires and extreme flooding.
Dangerous heat waves.
Rising sea levels and forcing millions from their homes.
Crop failure and mass population movement.
As well as food shortages.
Millions around the world face future disaster.
Pretty serious.
People are dying.
President Trump has frequently doubted its existence and has called it a hoax.
I don't believe it.
The world is going to end in 12 years.
From the creators of the Russian collusion conspiracy and the Jussie Smollett hate crime, this summer, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
Countdown to Apocalypse 2030. We're all gonna die.
Great edit from Darren McBreen at Media Rival on X. Countdown to Apocalypse 2030. I wanted to play that to, you know, illustrate what we all know in that what we're seeing play out in the political world is not really about politics. It's about this monumental spiritual shift of humanity, of people deliberately trying to remake human nature itself in an image that comports to them rather than God, where the free will, the adventurism, the just divine spark of humanity is snuffed out in favor of a more convenient, subservient, passive style of being. And so I'm going to show some clips from Owen Schroyer's debate with Destiny last night, and that was like my big takeaway from it, is we're almost talking past each other. Because what we're talking about, if you're debating Kamala versus Trump, which is what the debate ostensibly was, it really is much more of a metaphysical, philosophical, spiritual conflict than a political one in a lot of ways. And maybe the best example is from yesterday, Columbus Day, Donald Trump giving a speech where he's talking about our unique heritage and history and just the greatness of America, and that we are not just interchangeable cogs in a machine as human beings. We have a will and a destiny. And our past and future are intertwined, and that's being stolen from us. Just a extremely powerful and pertinent nationalist message compared to Kamala Harris saying the arrival of Europeans brought savagery, barbarism, death, and disease, and that she would get rid of Columbus Day in favor of Indigenous Peoples Day. The question is not whether you think the policies of Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, which one is better. It's a question of whether you think America should exist into the future, or whether the national construct of our identity and just us as a nation is an impediment to your globalist plan to make everybody a slave. And you'd rather destroy it and tear it down and eradicate it after first unfairly demonizing it. So that's what's really at stake in this election. And it's not to say that Donald Trump will single-handedly solve everything. It's just that Kamala Harris can and will, not single-handedly, but as one node of the hive mind, as one manifestation of the Borg, will continue and possibly push us over the point of no return in our, as we travel just towards the total abyss and actual destruction of our nation as anything, as something functional, as a concept. That's what's at stake in this election right now. And again, it's this spiritual conflict that I think is shown in the political debate. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying. In fact, the first clip number 4, this shows you a very distinct contrast between the two sides of this. Not necessarily about policy. It's not about differentiating on details or, you know, how we get to a certain goal. It is a fundamental difference in respect, in the value of humanity, and being a decent person. It's the very beginning, the opening of the debate, and it's destiny. Refusing to shake hands with Owen Schroyer. Let's watch.
Yep. A real class act.
A real class act. So that was just the beginning, and it only got worse for Destiny. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This is Owen Schroyer pointing out the fact that if you're going to talk about policies, if that is the concern, well, all of Kamala Harris's policies were stolen from Donald Trump. Let's watch.
Okay. What are Harris policies that are so great?
Well, the three that she listed immediately is she wanted to give a $50,000 rollover deduction to new startups or small businesses. So
that was Trump's idea?
What?
Trump did that.
Maybe he should have spoken. I don't know if he's too senile now or he's lost the ability to do it. What?
You just weren't watching.
I was watching. Unfortunately, I watched too much Trump. That was one. A second thing she wanted to do was expand the child tax credit, which was incredibly successful under Biden.
Also a Trump policy.
It wasn't. That's why it happened under Biden. And it's why the Republicans initially fought against it. Are we going to say that pre-existing conditions in the ACA was a Trump policy now as well? I know that he wants to take care of that one. And then the third thing that Kamala Harris said is she wanted to do a $15,000 first-time home buyer credit to people that were buying homes for the first time. Donald Trump said he wanted
for illegal immigrants.
I'm so curious. How do you think these tax credits work?
You do realize that they give money to illegal immigrants to buy houses?
I don't think you know how any of this works, because I think you're probably born a rich kid and you've never bought a house on an FHA loan before. So I had a tax credit when I bought a house. The way that these work is you apply for these refundable tax credits.
Yeah, he's going to explain how tax credits work. He's misrepresenting it. As we explained ad nauseum, Owen Schroyer is right. It is for first-generation home buyers. So if your parents owned a home, you're being excluded. This was not a gift from the government to try to spur home buying. It is an equity program specifically designed to disadvantage middle-class Americans, specifically white Americans, with even a modicum of generational wealth, i.e. your parents owned a home. Disadvantage them in favor of illegal immigrants or people who have never owned a home in the first place. It's obviously a whole host of reasons why that's not a good idea. But it's also, well, I'll play these clips and then we'll get back to it, because she's come up with another brilliant idea. Democratic policy has essentially devolved into what democracies always devolve into, which is just bribing your constituency, which is just saying, vote for me and I'll give you a $15,000 first time home buyer loan that you never have to pay back and won't go to anybody whose parents owned a home before them. So it's your fault for not being born destitute. It's your fault, you know, you're for your parents trying to be responsible and, you know, have equity in something that's permanent. See, that was stupid. That was a foolish move. That was a smart move before, when the American dream existed and, you know, property rights, the foundation of liberty, were like important to the American people. But that's the old way. Now you're dumb for doing things right. Now you're dumb for not spending all of your money immediately. If you're saving up or you're trying to pass something on to your children, you're a fool. You're a sucker. You're just a mark for the government to target, exploit, impoverish, and give all your money away to people who weren't dumb enough to think that they need to be responsible, or whose parents, you know, didn't make the foolish mistake of investing in a responsible way. Let's go now to clip number 12, where Owen Schroyer, and again, it's just the same thing over and over. It's so frustrating. It's so utterly infuriating how the Democrats do this. Maybe I'll let Owen explain it. But it happens over and over. There's like a million different examples. But during the debate, Destiny brings up the infrastructure bill, which at this point, they stopped hiding it. They stopped pretending it was anything other than a climate change bill. Now they admit that was a climate change bill. None of that had nothing to do with infrastructure. It's not building bridges. It's not repairing roads. It's not, you know, filling up your potholes or making a hydroelectric dam. No, it's, I mean, well, honestly, God knows what it's doing. But it took billions of dollars out of the American economy to fund some sort of vague, amalgamous climate change agenda programs that had nothing to do with infrastructure. But they did name it infrastructure. So then if you voted against it, it's your fault that the infrastructure isn't better. And now you're not allowed to talk about infrastructure because they passed the infrastructure bill. And that's, I guess the way that this works. And here's Owen Shore, and they did the same thing with the border bill. The border was open through executive orders. The border did not require legislation to be closed again. It required the executive branch to enforce the laws that were already on the books. There has not been any legislation that has told the executive branch to open the border, to consider every person that crosses the border an asylum seeker and approve them automatically, to create an app, to et cetera, et cetera. That never happened legislatively. They never signed any bills to eradicate the border of the United States. It is a choice the executive branch is making to not enforce the laws that are on the books. So to even portray this as a legislative issue is ridiculous. And so they make a border bill, pretend that that's necessary to fix the border, don't pass it, and then blame Trump for not passing the ridiculous border bill, which we went over at the time, was not going to do anything to shut the border whatsoever. There's so many caveats to it, so many little, you know, legalistic fine print lines that just made the whole thing pointless. It's like cap it at 5,000 people a day, but only from contiguous nations who share a contiguous border. So it's like, okay, so only from so you're only counting for people from Mexico or Canada, but not counting the thousands of people that you're actually flying in from El Salvador and Guatemala and everywhere else. Again, it's just, it's like getting down in the bog, in the mire of policy and legislation. It's like, zoom out, look at it with a bird's eye view. It's obvious. One side wants an open border, wants to flood America with an infinite number of migrants, wants to demographically swamp and alter forever the composition of the United States, because the current native inhabitants have inconvenient political leanings. And the other side wants a nation and wants their tax dollars to go to them and themselves and their children and their family and their friends and actual Americans, rather than being given away by the hundreds of millions to people that took advantage of the app to get them over the border. It's a fundamental, foundational difference between these two stances. But let's talk about the policy, shall we? Clip number 12.
The reason why the Republicans decided not to vote for this bill is because it did include all the pork barrel spending. This is how corrupt Congress is, and both sides do it. The Republicans and the Democrats do it. They've been doing it for years. They just tried to do it again on the continued resolution, but they couldn't even get the SAVE Act passed. So they'll have a bill with a major issue. Let's say it's border security. And then they'll pork barrel funding of all these different projects, all these different things that a governor over here might want, a representative over here might want, a senator over here might want, and they toss it all into this bill, and they say, this is the border security bill, and then if you don't sign it, you're not for border security. And it's just a game. It's a game that our politicians have been playing against us, all of us, for years. So, yeah, I'm glad that the Republicans didn't do it in a rare moment, but yeah, are they still going to get the pork barrel they want? Yes. Are we still going to get all the illegal immigration that they want? Yes. So we still lose on that issue.
So, you know, and taking it to the fundamentals. That just, I mean, the whole system is just broken. The whole system is just utterly screwed. And you know, maybe the most powerful example of that is the actual crime against humanity that's been committed by this government. The unimaginable reality. That's what it is. Of 320,000 children going missing from the United States government. I need to grab the video. It was probably last week that somebody posted it, of Colbert in 2020 literally crying about a report that 500 children had gone missing under Trump. And look, I'm not even necessary. Like, that's not even a wrong reaction. Stephen Colbert is literally weeping over the idea of 500 little children separated from their parents, lost and alone, somewhere out there, lost, in the custody of the American government, and then gone somewhere. It's horrifying, and 500 is an astonishing amount of times for this to happen. One time would be a tragedy. 500 times is some sort of war crime. 320,000 times is a deliberate policy. It's an industrial scale operation being carried out. No tears, though. No crying, no concern. And it's one of the things that liberals have to do is pretend. And I think part of it's for their own psychological well-being. They have to pretend. They have to convince themselves that it can't be true. Because otherwise, they have to confront the fact that their politicians and their people they support and the policies they voted for resulted in this abominable crime. It's just a crime. Let's go to clip number 14. Here's Owen Schroyer asking, where are the missing children at the border?
Again, to sit here and pretend like the border was less secure or not secure under Donald Trump is just not being honest. The numbers are proven that the border crossings were down under Donald Trump. And every year since the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration has been in power, you've had a record number of illegal crossings. Three straight years. And by the way, where are the 325,000 missing children that they have let in? Why did Kamala Harris cancel the border wall construction that was already paid for but now pretends to do it? It's because she's a flip-flopper and she'll say whatever she needs to get fools like this to vote for her.
And that's really the summation. I mean, that's it. That really does sum it all up. Look, we'll move on, but Destiny kept talking yesterday during the debate about reality. He kept claiming that Trump supporters don't live in reality. And I really just want to ask, like, what is reality to him? What is it? What does that even mean? How are we supposed to live in a country with people who clearly one of us isn't living in reality? Maybe it's us, right? Take a little humble pie. What if it's us? What if the border is fine and 50 million people coming into this country is a great thing? And that, you know, once all of the white people are eliminated, once we all die out, you know, once the border isn't just open but non-existent, once you've got Venezuelan gangs not just taking over a few apartment buildings, but embedded in every major city and at war with other ethnic gangs. You know, maybe once the civil wars in India and the blood feuds in the Middle East and the criminal activity in South America all comes to America and finishes off once and for all this oppressive, white supremacist, Christian nationalist concept of the rule of law and mercy and, you know, honor and doing things that are right even when it's inconvenient, and setting up a system where it's not dog-eat-dog survival of the fittest, but rather a level playing field for everybody. You know, maybe then everything will be perfect. Maybe then the utopia will be ushered in, and finally the, you know, oppressive boot of decency and law and order will be removed from all of our brilliant neighbors all over the world. It's just absurd. I mean, come on. One of us is living in reality, and it's the ones that's telling you about the numbers and the results and the reality of what's going on. And they're sitting there telling you the economy is amazing. The immigrants aren't coming at that big of a number. And if they are, it's actually a good thing. And actually, they work harder and are less criminal than Americans. And you know, they have all these jobs that Americans refuse to do. And sure, ignore the fact that their housing is paid for and their lawyers paid for and their food paid for and their laundry done by the American government for free while the American people are left completely on their own to struggle with a total lack of support in the country that they were born and grew up in and whose ancestors died to create. It's just, we're just being brutalized. We're just being utterly brutalized. And it's getting to a point now that I don't know how to say it exactly. We're at the end of democracy. Democracy's over. Democracy has a life cycle that it progresses through, as evidenced throughout history, every time it's tried, which is why our founding fathers deliberately set us up to not be a democracy. We are a republic, representative constitutional republic. And slowly but surely, the republican aspects of our system have been degraded and abolished and removed and replaced by more democratic institutions. For one thing, senators used to be selected or voted on or elected by the state legislature. Then in 1913, it became a popular vote because it turns out it's easier to rig one statewide election or to sway one giant statewide populace to vote for your guy than it is to try to rig 100 different state legislature seats in order to get the person that you want. We used to be a republic. We're moving towards democracy. Democracy inevitably ends in the tyranny of the masses. And Kamala Harris's new program is just blatantly bribing people for their vote. She has come out with a policy to provide $20,000 forgivable loans to black entrepreneurs. Okay, now we'll get back into this in the next hour. And it's different than her $25,000 first generation homeowner giveaway. But they've moved from even pretending. And that's really what's happening across the board here with Democrats. They want to just say to their voters, vote for me and I'll give you $20,000. Because they're losing with the black population and they're wanting to get them back. And they're hoping that enough black people go, I don't really like Kamala Harris, but $20,000. If she gets in, I get $20,000. Yeah, why not? I'll vote for it. I could use $20,000. Just cynical. It's the end of democracy. It is the worst and final abuse of a democratic system, bribing the public with their own money. That's it. It's over.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, but What some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Why you're advocating for, you're voting for Trump or you support him. So can you tell me the policies that the reason? I just want to know what policies.
I noticed that Kamala Harris is filling a lot of Trump's talking points. So, for example, no taxes on tips. I do believe that we need to have a lower tax rate across the board. One of the things that he stands on is that we need to have an audit of the federal government, because the federal government is not spending our money correctly. I think that there's a lot of mismanagement. I think that there's a lot of waste. So a proposed policy that creates a governing board that's led by Elon Musk, a true businessman, to go in and do an evaluation of every single branch of government in order to make sure that we're running lean. I stand for that. I stand for less government. I don't think that government should play a larger role in our life, which is also. I'm sorry. You gonna let me answer the question?
You're right. Go ahead.
I stand for smaller government, which also spills over into the whole reproductive rights issue, because I don't think that everything should be governed on a federal level. I think that things need to go back into the state and people vote based off of their interests. And then as a result, that's where the law stands. I also believe in more pro-business, and I believe in capitalism at an extreme level. I don't believe in these socialist agendas where you can then tax your way and continue to raise taxes on people that already pay the overwhelming majority of the taxes inside of this country. I do like the idea of no tax on overtime. Again, I know that Kamala Harris sold a no tax on tips. And if you look at some of the things that he's done and implemented, for example, as lowering the tax rate, what it did was it generated more revenue for the federal government, because it allowed for businesses to then bring the majority of their revenue over into the United States of America and invest in manufacturing. I do support tariffs, and obviously the Biden and Harris administration, they support tariffs also, because they left the overwhelming majority of the tariffs that Trump implemented against China and other places in his trade war. I love the fact that he renegotiated the North American Free Trade Agreement, which made us more competitive, and it helps to save the steel industry. I do believe in tariffs because it allows for us. That's the original way in which we were building this country, was tariffs, because tariffs and taxes on things that were coming in when people decided that they wanted to do business, which allows for us to be more competitive with China. Because if you look at how they do business in China, Tesla is the only company that was able to go over there and not have to partner with a company in which they stole our proprietary technology that then used against us over here in the United States of America. And so when you look at a lot of these proxy wars, which I'm against all of these wars, and the last 12 of the 16 years in which Democrats have been in office, they've been warmongers. And so when you've seen that there was no new wars under Trump, and that we need to spend more money on American citizens and here in the United States of America, I also support the border policies that Trump is trying to implement, which is a continuation of what Obama implemented, but then they went against it when Trump then became president of the United States of America. I believe that we need to have stronger borders. I believe in immigration, but legal migration. And I believe that we need to vet people that come over into this country. It's a lot more policies that I actually support and I believe in, both in the past and what's proposed in the future. But I think that Trump, ultimately, I don't want handouts. I don't want people giving out money. I don't want to become a socialist environment. I don't want to pay more taxes. I believe that the system is already okay from what we had, so we do need to go back to that. More importantly, I believe in removing government to allow for us to thrive individually. I don't believe in giving out money. I don't believe in being overtaxed. I don't believe in larger government. I don't believe in open borders. I don't believe in being a warmonger. I don't believe in giving money over to Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel. I don't believe in proxy wars. I don't believe in any of that. So for me, it's very simple. It's very clear. I believe that Trump is a person for everybody, not based off of identity politics. And I also don't support the fact that government has to have a hand in every single thing that we do. It creates more bureaucracy. And I think that all of these numbers are inflated. If you see what's happening in all of these cities across the United States of America, everywhere where it's blue, it's absolutely a death toll. Chicago is a death city. Oakland is a death city. New York is suffering. All of these places are under the burden of these same policies that's been implemented. We need more police. We need stronger police presence. We need more police training. And the whole immunity thing is fake also because it doesn't absolve people from being responsible for the decisions that they make when they police and citizens. It doesn't, especially when they follow in their training and the manual. So all of these false narratives, all of these false things that they're telling y'all is a lot. And I can't think of one single Kamala Harris policy that wasn't copied from Trump that would then lead us to believe that we're going to have a better space than we was in the last 3.5 years. We're not.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're going to get back into politics here in the second hour of the American Journal. We're going to talk about the war in Israel and some strange developments there. We also have some very disturbing developments of the war in Ukraine to discuss as well. And I want to get into criminal justice overall, the collapse, distortion, and largely the eradication of punishment for crimes. It's getting bad out there. But I do want to tell you about Optimal Human. I'm glad we're actually selling this. I thought maybe this was something that we hadn't started selling yet. So they sent me home with one of these. Matt was mad at me for my plug earlier, saying, don't say it keeps you up all night. Well, don't.
Furious.
Don't drink. He's furious. Don't drink it right before you go to bed, folks, because it's got a lot of energy. You wouldn't drink coffee. You wouldn't drink Turbo Force right before going to bed. It's not conducive to falling asleep immediately. But if you wake up and drink this, it is really incredible. Like, it really has an effect. It's one of the things, like, you know, it's not a placebo effect because I wasn't expecting it to give me a ton of energy. I just thought it'd be giving me vitamins and nutrients. I didn't do my research, but yes, it has a lot of stuff in here for incredible natural energy. And I felt it last night, and I'm feeling it today as well. It's got prebiotics and probiotics. Ashwagandha Optimal Human combines the power of prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, antioxidants, and adaptogens to support your health from the inside out. Our comprehensive formula ensures you get to the nutrients you need for optimal wellness. Optimal Human supports gut health, immune function, and cognitive performance while maintaining vitality and reducing inflammation. Optimize your health now with 30% off out of the gates with this amazing introductory offer at the AlexJonesStore.com and feel confident with a 30-day money-back guarantee. But I can pretty much guarantee you, you're not going to be returning it because it really is incredible and you'll notice it. Again, so, you know, sometimes things like iodine, you're not going to feel it right away. It's going to be cumulative, and the longer you take it, the more you're going to feel it, and it really hits you a couple days after taking it regularly. That's not one of these. That's not what Optimal Health, Optimal Human is. Optimal Human is something that you feel right away and all day. It's really, really powerful stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you can get it. Optimal Human, complete daily nutrient, whole health nutritional supplement. Go check it out. Do your own research. And it does. It tastes like tea. It tastes like tea is what it tastes like. Matt was like, don't say it tastes weak. It's like, well, no, it's just it doesn't have a super strong flavor. It's good. It tastes fresh. It's like fresh tea. Maybe that's what I should have said. But it is good. It is very good and very powerful. So I'm glad I get to plug it. Let's talk about politics, shall we? There's a lot of concerning messages coming out of the mainstream media that they are planning to do what they did last time, which is steal the election, which is use mail-in ballots and a variety of intricate and pseudo-legal programs to steal the election. I don't have any other way of putting it. One of the ways that they're telescoping this is talking about Pennsylvania, and in particular, the fact that Pennsylvania is going to look red at first, but then we're pretty sure it's going to turn blue in the middle of the night. We're pretty sure that when the Trump victory in Pennsylvania seems certain at midnight, we're pretty sure by the time you wake up, it will have flipped to blue. We're just putting that out there and warning you. They're laying the groundwork just like they did in 2020. And we knew what they were going to do in 2020. And then we watched them do it live and told you the whole thing. And now 4 years later, some of this evidence is actually getting out. And just on the topic of vote stealing, obviously one of the places that they did it most effectively was in Detroit, where they used the, what do they call them, temporary ballots or whatever, to trick people into thinking they were voting, when really somebody had voted on their behalf through a mail-in ballot, and that was the vote that was going to count at the end of the day. Provisional ballot is what they called it. And we had the video of the Detroit leaks where the election volunteers were being trained to, if somebody comes in and says, I'd like to vote, and it shows that they've already sent in a mail-in ballot, and you say to them, you already sent in a mail-in ballot, and they say, no, I didn't. I would like to vote today. I have not sent in a mail-in ballot. I would like to cast my vote today. Then you give them a provisional ballot and say, yeah, sure, go ahead, vote. Yeah, here's your provisional ballot. They go into the booth and they fill it out. They give you the provisional ballot. You take the provisional ballot and you throw it in the trash and you count the vote that came in the mail that they say they never sent. That was actually how people were trained. That was what they did. So God only knows how many thousands of people in Detroit thought they voted. Turned out their provisional ballot was thrown in the trash as instructed by the trainers at that location. And now Detroit seems to be up to some more tricks. As Amuse says on X, election integrity, these numbers concern me a lot. How has the worst run city in America already received back more than 40% of the ballots they sent out just 2 weeks ago? Is anybody in the RNC looking at this? You see, Wayne County, which is the city of Detroit, has received back 40% of its ballots that it sent out 2 weeks ago, the highest number of any county in the state, which doesn't make any sense because Detroit is far and away the most dysfunctional city in the state. So how is it that they have such incredible returns in this bureaucratic process when nothing else they try to do goes smoothly or has positive results? A little bit suspicious. It's a little bit suspicious. And something that was talked about yesterday during the debate, and again, the importance of, to me, talking about the debate is to confront and to be confronted by some of the beliefs that the Democrats still hold. One of them is to downplay the claims that were made in 2020 from people who saw firsthand and signed affidavits, took oaths, and claimed that they were witnesses to massive, wide-scale fraud. And they say, yeah, this was somebody, they saw ballots and they said, we don't know where these ballots are from, and so they signed that, which is completely misrepresenting it. And it just goes back to the same argument I've been making since 2020, since before the election, which is that what was exposed in the affidavits, in the claims of people like the truck driver who drove from New York to Pennsylvania with a truck full of ballots, was that the chain of custody was shattered, was ignored, was not followed, meaning not that every vote is therefore a false one, but it means you can't count them. I mean, you have to assume that they're false because you have absolutely no way of verifying whether or not they're real, which means you can't count them. In the same way, if you didn't have chain of custody for evidence in a crime, you can't present it in a courtroom. You have to be able to show where it came from, who took it to who, where they dropped it off, who signed for it, that it was all official, that it was all as it was supposed to be. Instead, what you had was a guy driving a truck from New York, which is not Pennsylvania, into Pennsylvania, which means across state lines, which means you're moving Pennsylvania ballots from a state that's not Pennsylvania, takes the truck, tries to drop it off with the official election people, and is prevented from doing it. Is told, just leave your truck there. We'll get it tomorrow. We know the person who's supposed to take it isn't here. They can't sign for it. So, you know, we can't have the chain of custody. He says, leave the truck there, and tomorrow come back, and the person will sign for it. The guy says, this is shady, but okay, leaves the truck, goes home, comes back the next day, truck is gone, somebody's picked it up at some point, taken it somewhere, nobody knows, he doesn't know, he feels like, here I was entrusted with this truckload of ballots, I was trying to keep it in the chain of custody, I was trying to make sure everything went smoothly, and at some point, deliberately, that custody was broken. We cannot, like, those ballots shouldn't be counted. They should not be counted. They shouldn't be able to be counted. These are the types of things they just brush off. They say, it was just some guy who whatever. It's like, no, it was the truck driver of the mail-in ballots who tried to do it the right way and was prevented from doing that and basically had all the ballots just taken from him by somebody at some point. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So you can't count them. So that's just, it's, this is just a broken system. It's all fraudulent. So, of course, they're just doing it again. Of course, they're just trying to do that again. But Kamala Harris has a brilliant idea. It's amazing. I mean, how did we not think of this before? She says, black men deserve a president who cares about making their lives better. Kamala Harris will create an opportunity agenda for black men. Because that's what we need in America is race-specific laws. Now, this is progress. This is definitely progress, is we want to have grants and benefits and privileges specifically for some races and not others. This is progress, remember. Remember slavery? So shut up. Shut up and allow the government to specifically take money from white people and give it to black people. Because slavery, guys, okay? The primary aspect of the opportunity agenda is to provide 1 million loans that are fully forgivable up to $20,000 for black entrepreneurs and others to start a business. $20,000 in forgivable loans. And see, they dress this up with superfluous words that are not necessary. When she says that we're trying to, you know, create a policy to give $20,000 forgivable loans to black entrepreneurs, the words that are unnecessary in that sentence are forgivable loan and entrepreneur. What this means is we're going to give $20,000 to black people if we win, so vote for us, black people. That's what it means. That's all it means. They also say they want to support education, training, and mentorship programs that lead to good-paying jobs for black men, including pathways to become teachers. Good. White people don't need that. Protect cryptocurrency investments so black men who make them know their money is safe. Great. Launch a national health initiative focused on the illnesses that disproportionately impact black men. Legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Have you ever seen just more blatant and open corruption and pandering and desperation? Clearly, they are panicking about the fact that black men, not super stoked with the Harris messaging, not super stoked with their neighborhoods being flooded by illegal immigrants who get everything for free, not super stoked with being told that they're not black if they don't vote for the old racist or Indian woman, in case of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, they're just not happy with being so blatantly disrespected over and over for so long. And so in response, Kamala Harris is not only starting programs that are just, I mean, am I wrong here? It's blatantly illegal. Like, this is just, this is very blatant. And it's amazing, like, the claims of white supremacy from Donald Trump. He should just come out with this exact policy, but for white people. Donald Trump will create an opportunity agenda for white men. Why doesn't he give white men a $20,000 loan for our business? Why don't we have support and education programs to get good-paying jobs for white men? White men don't need help, obviously, which is where the whole "the Democrats are the real racist" meme comes from. SBA data, meanwhile, shows major increase in loans for black-owned businesses under Biden-Harris. Administrator Isabella Casilla Guzman, head of the U.S. Small Business Administration, joined Congressman Stephen Horsford of the 2023 Congressional Black Caucus Foundation's annual legislative conference back in September of last year to announce new data showing the rate of SBA-backed loans going to black-owned businesses has more than doubled under the Biden-Harris administration. So this is not anything new, and it is, again, just like her policy to give loans to first-generation homebuyers. It's an equity program. This is all very deliberate. And this is where just principles matter. This is where, like, actual conviction is necessary. That, like, my position is just steady across the board, right? Steady across the board, you shouldn't give people benefits or demerits based on things they can't control about themselves, as in their race, their religion, their physical attributes. That's a principle. That's something you can stand on. That's something you can apply in any situation totally fairly. Nobody should have a problem with it ever. Something happens with Democrats where race-based privileges, race-based programs are good in certain cases and the worst evil ever in others. They are, it is a abominable, it is a sin, it is a crime, it is a historical inequity that will never live down. Or it's like a really good program that's really beneficial and, you know, helps to upkeep our race over the others. We need to get back to the principle. We need to get, because what is the alternative? To have just some sort of a dog-eat-dog racial free-for-all? Where you have Trump coming out and going, well, we'll give 20,000 free loans to any white person that registers a business with LegalZoom. It's just nonsense. It's unsustainable. It's supposedly correcting a injustice that never existed in the first place. It is using taxpayer funds, which comes almost entirely from white people, to redistribute to black people in order to attain some vague form of equity that really can't ever exist. And of course, the PPP loans were a giant fraud, largely, and they're basically taking that business practice and just expanding it. And the PPP loans also were racially designated. The Paycheck Protection Program was designed to help businesses retain employees as they weathered the COVID-19 pandemic. Private lenders administered PPP loans at virtually no risk to themselves, as loans were federally guaranteed. In racial disparities in access to small business credit, evidence from Paycheck Protection Program, these people examined whether racial bias may have affected the distribution of loans under this program. They analyzed nearly 6 million PPP loans between April 20th and February 2021. when the program rules were changed to explicitly give priority to small firms and minority-owned businesses, with the sample black-owned businesses accounted for 8.6% of all loans. They accounted for 3.3% of loans issued by small banks, compared to 26.5% of loans made by fintech lenders. Although fintech lenders made just 17.7% of overall loans in the sample, they processed 53.6% of loans received by black-owned businesses. So in the PPP loans, there, it was specifically and deliberately reorganized to give priority to minority-owned businesses. And at the time, if you remember, you go on TikTok or Instagram and find videos of people just, you know, telling each other how to scam the government out of tens of thousands of dollars by pretending to have a business and needing it to weather COVID. And instead of doing anything about the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars of fraud in the PPP program, specifically associated with the minority status of the so-called business owners, they decided just to say, you know what, we just forgive all the loans. And it's too much trouble to figure out whether these loans were valid or whether the business deal was even real or whether the money was spent in the way that it was supposed to be spent. That's too hard and complicated, and it would be racist, because if you were to investigate that, you would have some disparities in the outcome of the fraud cases. So instead, they just forgave it all. In other words, gave away your money to people who didn't deserve it, didn't need it, didn't actually have businesses. They were minorities. So there's that. And this is back to Kamala Harris and the plagiarism charges she's weathering right now. Here's how New York Times put it. Conservative activist seizes on passages from Harris book. Conservative activist seizes on passages from Harris book. Not Kamala Harris plagiarized her book. No, the mover in this sentence, the person doing the thing, is the conservative activist, and they are, you can assume, unfairly seizing on passages from Harris's book. So you don't have to listen, because it's just conservative activists. They're not telling the truth or anything, because they're a conservative activist. So, you know, they're just trying to say what they're trying to say to progress their side. These are the subliminal messages that are embodied in just this headline. The conservative activist Christopher Rufo published claims on Monday that Vice President Kamala Harris had copied portions of her 2009 book, Smart on Crime, citing five sections that he said were lifted from widely available sites, including Wikipedia and news reports. The passages called into question by Mr. Rufo on his Substack platform involve about 500 words in approximately 65,000 word book, 200 pages. Ms. Harris, the Democrat presidential nominee, wrote the book with another author when she was a district attorney in San Francisco. Again, I wish I wasn't necessary. I wish it wasn't necessary for somebody to have to come on and explain what's happening here. It should be obvious. It should be obvious to anybody, especially in a world where leftists are consumed by so-called critical theory, right? To be critical of what you're reading, to not just take it at face value, but think, who's writing it and why are they writing it and what word choices are they using to express what, you know, what thoughts are they trying to get across? If you read this first sentence in a just even minutely critical eye, you'll see that not only are they confirming what was found, she did plagiarize chunks of her book, but they're desperately trying to bury this by, first of all, associating it with a conservative activist who their audience has been primed to disregard, but by downplaying the amount of plagiarism in the book. Oh, well, it was only a couple pages. It was a really long book. She only plagiarized a couple pages. She plagiarized her book. She plagiarized chunks of her book. Chunks of her book were just copied and pasted straight from Wikipedia. And this is the person they want to make president of the United States. Is this disqualifying? Not necessarily. is it a contributing factor as you look at the overall morals and values of the person?
Yeah.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Match Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands, you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls throughout the second half of today's program of American Journal. Call 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Now taking your calls as we move into the international stories, the wars, the various and pointless wars. Absolutely careening towards Armageddon. Before we get into Ukraine and Israel, let's talk about here in America. Is this Zero Hedge article accurate? U.S. military now authorized to kill Americans on U.S. soil. As the U.S. prepares one of the most controversial and controversial and closely watched elections in its history, a concerning update to DOD Directive 5240.01 has been quietly put into effect. Reissued on September 27, 2024, this directive governs the Department of Defense's intelligence activities and now includes provisions authorizing lethal force in certain circumstances when assisting civilian law enforcement. While the directive forbids assassinations, good. Forbids assassination. Well, that's nice. However, it does open the door to lethal interventions under national security conditions. So no assassinations. But if you need to kill somebody over national security concerns, well, that's fine. The reissuance of DOD Directive 5240.01 repealed previous versions, including the 1982 5241-R. While the update may seem routine, the changes regarding the use of lethal force in domestic operations are significant. In the 2016 version, the directive primarily focused on intelligence collection and ensuring civil liberties protections for U.S. persons. It emphasized strict oversight and the need for authorization before collecting a U.S. person's information. However, the 2024 version expands the military's role, particularly in assisting civil law enforcement, and authorizes lethal force under specific conditions, raising questions about its use during potential civil unrest surrounding the election. So that's crazy. That is absolutely insane. So they're talking about the military assisting civilian law enforcement, which I believe would be a violation of the Constitution already. But we know that people like Jamie Raskin and others talking about civil war conditions. We know they're setting the groundwork to steal the election, places like Pennsylvania and Detroit. So unless I'm misreading the situation, everything seems to be lining up for a repeat of 2020 with a nationwide January 6th after they blatantly and egregiously steal the election. So they're going to do it again. It's going to be the same playbook as 2020, where Trump's going to win throughout the entire day. When everybody goes to bed, it's going to be a Trump sweep. And then in the middle of the night, in certain states, it's going to be a massive and bizarrely perfect injection of votes for Kamala Harris in certain counties and certain swing states. That's going to change the outcome of the overall election. When this pisses everybody off, since we've been suffering endlessly since 2020, financially, nationally, historically, just, you know, crushed under the weight of this illegitimate regime, and when that final act of participation is stolen, people are going to get pissed, and whether real conflict breaks out or whether false flag attacks are carried out, they're going to do exactly what they did in 2020, which is to say that claims that the election was stolen are incitements to violence, that it's illegal hate speech, that it's akin to terrorism, to point out what you can see with your eyes as they blatantly steal the election. They're going to deliberately piss off and prod Trump supporters. And again, whether or not Trump supporters even do anything, they are going to launch a nationwide post-January 6th roundup operation using the military to try to put down any potential possible, you know, future uprisings that they imagine. I mean, that's what they're setting up. It's what they're telling us they're going to do. In less than explicit terms. Subject paragraph 3.1, defense intelligence components may provide personnel to assist a federal department or agency, including a federal law enforcement agency or state or local law enforcement agency, when lives are in danger, in response to a request for such assistance in accordance with the following approval authorities: the Secretary of Defense. The decision to approve these requests, these types of permissional assistance, described in paragraph 3.2, to law enforcement agencies and other civil authorities are reserved by the Secretary of Defense. Provisions of personnel to support response efforts for civil disturbances, which may also require presidential authorization. DOD response to chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and high-yield explosive incidents. Assistance in responding with assets with potential for lethality or any situation in which it is reasonably foreseeable that providing the requested assistance may involve the use of force that is likely to result in lethal force, including death or serious bodily injury. It also includes all support to civilian law enforcement officials in situations where a confrontation between civilian law enforcement and civilian individuals or groups is reasonably anticipated. Translation: the U.S. military will be cooperating and working in tandem with civilian law enforcement in any situation where they claim that there might potentially be the possibility of lethal force being used. The U.S. military, for the record, is expressly prohibited from engaging domestically with the citizenry, with very specific narrow exceptions per the Posse Comitatus Act, 18 U.S. Code 1385. Which is a fundamental and, again, foundational value of the American governmental system that is being eradicated with this seemingly minor bureaucratic rewriting of the instruction manual. And this is what it's little changes like this that people, they don't even really consider at the time, that set the stage for the real plan. Like, the reason these things are put into place is because they contribute to the, you know, overall operation. One thing that it brings to mind is, you know, FM 32, the Field Manual 32. Again, sort of a minor rewrite in the way in which counterinsurgencies are dealt with on the battlefield. And it was this minor change in this field manual of the U.S. Army that changed the entire concept of war in the ensuing decades. And this was, you know, during the Iraq War, and they rewrote it. And basically, prior to this, the idea was if you had some sort of insurgency, you would put it down, and then you'd leave. Because it's a war, and you declare a war, you wage the war, somebody wins, somebody surrenders, you make peace, you all go home. That's a war. But in order to establish endless warfare, what they needed was some sort of framework to operate in where they could never really achieve their objectives, where they never used the necessary force to put down an insurgency, but instead used a hearts and mind, you know, strategy to try to convince the populace to leave the insurgents and not crush the insurgency, but work on civilian support systems. Long story short, it's why we were in Afghanistan for 20 years. It's why we were in Iraq for so long. It's why the wars are allowed to continue forever, because they actually rewrote the field manual to no longer have the ability to come to a conclusion with any sort of insurgency. And so it just goes on forever. It's these little minor changes. This is, seems like a minor change. Seems like a, well, it's extenuating circumstances, and it has to be requested, and, you know, part of it. But what this lays the groundwork for, what this provides for, is the process by which, from now on, the U.S. military can and will be deployed on American soil to suppress and kill American citizens. It's not small. It's huge. It's giant. There's nothing in here that would limit them from using this in the case of enforcing lockdowns, should another COVID-style program come into operation. If they're planning an attack on the grid, this would provide for the U.S. military to go out and work with civilian law enforcement to, you know, take on people on the red list, the people we've been talking about recently the list of something like 400,000 Americans maintained by the FBI as potential enemy combatants in an event of civil unrest. And we can stop this now, or we can never stop it. That's the way these things work. You can either prevent this from being, you know, put into place, or maybe they'll send the military to kill you if you try. So why don't we stop this now before it gets to the point where opposing it is in and of itself treated as an excuse to implement it? You know what I'm saying? Do you see where I'm going with that? Well, where we're all going may be something like Ukraine. Let me just give you a layout of where Ukraine is right now, because it's not going well. And that's not new, because it has never gone well for Ukraine. In the entirety of the 2.5 years this war has gone on, or year and a half, Ukraine has never had the upper hand. They've never been in a position to achieve victory. They've never really even been in a position to dictate terms. You've had an occasional flash in the pan surge where, with hundreds of billions of dollars of American equipment and training from American military and intelligence from American spies, you've had, you know, brief incursions of the Ukrainian army into previously captured territory, and that's celebrated and talked about and used as a reason to, you know, ship another couple billions of dollars. But it's never lasted, has been maintained. And at this point, the front is basically collapsing everywhere. Russia claims recaptured territories. Zelensky maintains confidence. That's all he's got. Oh, he's a confident man. He's a con man. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky has posted on X that fighting is going on along the entire front line, with particularly fierce battles unfolding in the Pokrovsk and Kurakov directions. The Ukrainian president also noted that Ukrainian forces have been under pressure in Kursk for 5 days, saying the Russians have been trying to break through our defenses in the Kursk region. Our guys are standing firm and counterattacking. According to the Ukrainian commander-in-chief, Moscow has now withdrawn almost 50,000 soldiers from the front lines in southern Ukraine and moved them to Kursk for counterattacks. The beginning of August, Ukraine crossed Russia's western border and claimed to have gained control of 1,300 square kilometers of Russian territory with over 100 settlements. However, Russia has reported it recaptured several settlements last week. Russia is saying that almost half of the areas captured by Ukraine near Kursk have been brought back under Russian control. Today, we note that about half the territory occupied by the enemy has been liberated, the state agency TASS quoted him as saying. But they're very confident still. Meanwhile, as RT reports, Ukraine's battle situation is critical. The key Donbass stronghold of Pokrovsk will inevitably fall, the one we just mentioned. Ukraine will soon have to abandon the key Donbass city and its defenses, slowly crumble under Russian attacks, according to General Kujat, a former chief of staff for the German Armed Forces and chairman of the NATO Military Committee. In an interview with journalist and podcaster Flavio von Witzelben on Sunday, Kujat, who chaired the NATO Military Committee between 2002 and 2005, suggested that Ukraine's plan to divert Russian units away from Donbass via its Kursk incursion has failed because Russia has not had to curtail its offensive in the region. It's not really going well. Not going super great. And yet another aspect to where this is going is the fact that NATO is conducting nuclear exercises even after Russia has warned they're changing their military doctrine to provide for a first strike capability. But what's it like to be a Ukrainian? What's happening in Ukraine? Well, what happens when a pointless and drawn-out stalemate conflict goes on for years at a time? The meat grinder has to take desperate measures for victims, to attain victims. Ukraine officers raid restaurants, bars, discos, and concert halls for conscripts as force mobilization now reaches the untouched elite, even in the capital, Kiev. In Ukraine, finding men to keep the war effort going is becoming more and more difficult. Millions of fighting-age men have fled the country. Hundreds of thousands have already died in combat. According to Trump, it's millions. Countless others are deserting every day and leaving combat positions unmanned. For months, we've witnessed videos showing how brutal the forced mobilization has become, with officers snatching people on the streets, sometimes clashing with family members of the, quote, volunteers and other concerned citizens. But now, as the desperation is setting in, Ukrainian military recruitment officers have started raiding restaurants, bars, and even a concert hall in the capital of Kiev. That means that privileged portions of the population that had so far been spared are beginning to be targeted. The mobilization goons are reportedly checking military registration documents and detaining men who are not in compliance. And we got several videos here. This one that you're seeing, this guy sort of knew what was coming, brings out a gun and pulls the gun on the recruitment officers. So they're saying, give me your documents. He's saying, here's your documents. I'll kill you. So there you go. There's a survival technique of living in Ukraine. Just carry a gun and threaten to shoot the people who come to drag you off to the front line. Here's them in a fancy nightclub taking people. Here's them physically kidnapping what looks like maybe a 20-something-year-old young man. So you literally have mobilization teams of goons and the man's wife or whoever is being pushed away. You have something like a dozen men here forcibly. I mean, look at this. This is a literal kidnapping as they shove this young man into the van. Is this going to be America in a couple years? We know they're, you know, reactivating aspects of the draft in anticipation of that. They are doing everything they can to start in a full-fledged way World War III as we continue to poke the bear that is Russia, as well as fund the brutal genocide in Israel. Will this be your son? Will this be your cousin? Will this come to America? I mean, the same people doing it in Ukraine are the ones who would do it here, right? And here you have another sort of outdoor venue and event, and you have mobs of these recruitment officers going up to random people, hauling them away, shoving them in a van, sending them to the front line for them to be killed by Russia in this just horrific crime against humanity. Is that all the videos? Did we play number two? That's them hunting the people on the front. Again, here's a security camera footage. Ah, you look like you might have had a nice life in Ukraine. Now you get to be savagely beaten by some government goon for refusing to get in the van where you likely will never see your family again. These are the horrors of the war that our politicians are waging so that they can skim money off the top and progress their ultimate globalist agenda. Just utterly brutal. And again, let's play clip six again. Because this is how you solve this problem. This is how you prevent yourself from being kidnapped, being murdered. They're saying, show documents. He says, here's your documents right here. He points a gun right in their face. Now, obviously, they weren't prepared for this. Likely next time, they will just kill him. But you can at least hold off the kidnapping goons for the time being with a handgun. Just insane. Just completely insane. Guys, I don't have a call screen up. I'm not sure if we're getting calls here, but I would like to go to some of them. I do want to remind you that now is a very, very important time to support InfoWars, as we are In a transition period and whatever comes next, we will need your support. So please do support us at InfoWarsStore.com. You can also get Optimal Human by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Optimal Human, complete daily nutrition. It is extremely powerful stuff. Gut health, organ health, natural energy, immune system, digestion, brain health, heart health, hormone health, detoxification, and it's good for your joints and skin. It's got prebiotics and probiotics, ashwagandha, vitamins and minerals, nootropics, lion's mane, which is an incredible nootropic, and phytonutrients. It really is powerful stuff. Optimal Human at TheAlexJonesStore.com. I think something's messing up with this screen, guys. It keeps turning off on me. I do understand we have Lebanon John calling in, and we're going to get into Israel in the next hour, but we can go ahead and start with maybe a summation, a quick rundown of what's going on in the Middle East. Thanks so much for calling in, John. What is the latest in the war between Israel and everybody that they're touching?
Yeah, well, the latest actually is that Turkey is starting to rearm the remnants of ISIS, essentially. If anyone heard my previous analysis, I was telling everyone that the mission to overthrow the Syrian government never ended, and it's about to step up in high gear. Russia is aware of this and is transferring a bunch of jets and doing joint air raids with Syria, trying to knock out these terrorists that are getting armed with state-of-the-art equipment now out of Turkey. And the Turkish economy, you know, the world system has them by the balls. So I'm not going to say that, you know, the Turkish people necessarily want to do this. Similar to Egypt and Jordan, they don't have much of a choice. They're threatened with pretty much starvation, total collapse if they don't play ball. You know, not every country has the ability to withstand siege and resist. You know, Russia, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, China, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Yemen, and that's about it. And all of them are starving, right? They're all cut off and besieged. So Iran is big enough they can withstand it. Russia is fucking huge, right? Russia is very huge and can withstand it. But Syria is starved and destroyed and hanging on by a thread, and they're going to try to knock them out. Lebanon has an underground resistance, which is able to withstand, you know, all kinds of airstrikes. So they can't really do anything to Lebanon, just hurt the people. That's about it. So America's danger is going to be drawn into this war against Syria. Now, the United States almost was drawn into a war against Syria under Obama. He said the chemical weapons is a red line. And they kept that propaganda going. And then under Trump, they did the false flag of a chemical attack, which was supposed to draw the United States in. And Donald Trump essentially dodged it or curved it by nipping it in the bud. But right now we got Biden and Kamala. Biden and Kamala were pro-American intervention in Syria. So that's really dangerous right now.
So what is happening between Iran and Israel? Because, you know, I was on vacation basically for the past 2 weeks. When I left, it was like Israel is about to respond to that big bombardment from Iran. Since then, it's kind of like petered out. There's been discussions of, you know, U.S. offering Israel compensation to moderate their Iran strikes. Obviously, there were a bunch of fairly successful attacks against Hezbollah, but Israel has not been able to make big incursions into Lebanon. Yeah, we're running out of time.
What do you mean successful attacks? Yeah, there's no successful attacks against Hezbollah. No Hezbollah guys have died. They're just killing random people in Lebanon.
All right, well, we'll be back in about 1 minute, and we'll get the full rundown of what's going on in Israel. There's so many aspects to this that I don't understand. I need to get my head around. We'll be back with Lebanon John on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. TheAlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsored InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Ladies and gentlemen, third hour of the American Journal is on. I'm joined by Lebanon John, talking about Israel. And let me just give you the rundown of the headlines that I have of Israel. A lot of conflict between the UN and Israel, actually. But from Middle East Eye, Palestinians burned to death after Israeli strike on Gaza hospital sets tents on fire. A brutal and horrific attack, the images of which have spread and shocked anybody that's seen them. U.S. who send anti-military, anti-missile system and troops to Israel. So we're sending the THAAD system as well as 100 on-the-ground troops to operate it. U.S. spends record $23 billion on Israel since October 7th. So in 1 year, we spent $23 billion and counting on allowing this senseless murder to continue. Biden's Lebanon envoy, ex-Israeli soldier Amos Hochstein, gave Israel green light to invade Lebanon, which seems fairly typical to me that the person representing America's interest in Lebanon is a former Israeli soldier who was born in Jerusalem. So, there's that. There's a report that U.S. is offering Israel compensation to moderate their Iran strikes. You also have Israel expanding their use of deadly suicide robots in North Gaza assault. Israel is intensifying its assault on civilians in the besieged North Gaza governorate using bomb-laden robots, which are then detonated from a distance. Just one of the various mechanized automated killing machines being deployed by Israel against their subject people in Gaza. And then the UN conflict with Israel is just insane. UN condemns large number of civilian casualties in North Gaza. That's from BBC. UN says over 400,000 children in Lebanon have been displaced in just 3 weeks by the war. 400,000 children displaced in 3 weeks. Apparently, the UN has confirmed in a report Israel's systematic mass rape of Palestinian hostages in torture camps, motivated by extreme hatred towards and a desire to dehumanize the Palestinian people. So that is a UN report that is not being covered by mainstream media. The UN Security Council said UNIFIL must be protected after Israeli attacks, and Israel has launched attacks against UN peacekeeping forces there in the south of Lebanon. So Israel's a bit on a tear, John, I guess you could say, but I guess right before we went to break, you were setting me straight. I was under the impression that there were several successful attacks, even if they were, you know, just blowing up the pagers or the supposed assassination of Nasrallah. How is how's the Israeli invasion of Lebanon going right now?
Keep trying. Anybody with any sense would have probably given it up by now. They've gotten nowhere. I basically, the way it works is that Bibi Netanyahu is demanding a victory for media. Bibi Netanyahu is hanging on, you know, by thread. So in the Western mindset, we're going to think with common sense. We're going to say, if the Israeli military is having a hard time with Hamas, constantly getting picked off and seemingly not taking over any tunnels, then why would they engage against Hezbollah, a more powerful opponent to the north? That seems really counterintuitive. And then if they're having such a hard time against Hezbollah in the north, why would they pick a fight with Iran? Well, that's our way of thinking. They have an inverted way of thinking. Their way of thinking is the embarrassment of Gaza is so bad that they want to take the attention by escalating to the north. And then the embarrassment of the north against Hezbollah in Lebanon was so bad that they're going to draw the attention and escalate to Iran. So they actually did this on purpose, where they went from one failure to a bigger failure, now to the biggest failure. Why is Iran the biggest failure? Well, because Iran proved the point that if they wanted to, they could blow up pretty much whatever they want in Israel.
And that's what they did. And again, that was, you know, 2 weeks ago. There was this massive bombing campaign by Iran. They hit tons of important sites, destroyed, you know, fighter jets and airfields and all this other stuff. There's been no response from Israel. We'll find out why on the other side. Stay with us. So a 60-second break and back to your calls on the American Journal. Don't go anywhere.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization for private labeling. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Again, live developments in Israel. Very disturbing ones, if you ask me. Israel expands use of suicide robots in North Gaza assault. Israel has ramped up its use of booby-trapped suicide robots equipped with tons of explosives in northern Gaza as it intensifies its all-out assault on the approximately 300,000 trapped residents of the area. Reported today by Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor detailed how Israeli troops are detonating the deadly devices from a distance as Israel ramps up its horrific bombardment of the area, which has been under intensified siege for the past 10 days. Israel's current operation in the North Gaza Strip appears to be in line with the so-called general plan published late September, which entailed laying siege to the north and declaring the area a military zone in which every person would be a target and no supplies would from that point enter the area. Conceived by retired Major General Joria Island, the plan aimed to empty the area of approximately 300,000 Palestinians who had refused to flee and remained in their homes in the north so Israel could take full control of the area and make it part of a buffer zone. Over 300 people have been killed in the area in the past 10 days. And, of course, they are using bomb-laden robots to carry out detonations in residential areas with the devastation of remaining civilian infrastructure a central part of the plan's implementation. You have the horrific videos, horrific images out of the bombing of the tents outside of the hospital. They are continuing to bomb civilians in Lebanon, 400,000 children now displaced from their homes in that country. I mean, my God, John, where do we even go with this? I do want to go to some other callers here, but again, just what is the trajectory here? When last I heard, Iran had launched this big attack, they'd hit airfields, they hit jets. Israel said, we're going to respond in a big way. The America apparently was saying, please don't, Israel, please don't, you know, start a war with Iran. Apparently, we are compensating them to moderate their Iran strikes, i.e. we are being blackmailed by our greatest ally into allowing them to start World War III or desperately trying to stop them from starting World War III, rather. We've offered Israel a compensation package if it refrains from attacking certain targets in Iran, according to a report by KAN11 on Sunday. Amichai Stein told them they'd received reports from U.S. officials that U.S. had offered Israel a compensation package if it refrained from hitting specific targets in Iran. So is the response going to happen? Like, what's next here, John? Is Israel going to respond to Iran? Are they going to take this compensation package? What's your reading of the situation?
They're definitely going to take yes, Harrison, they're going to take the compensation package.
And then
they're going to invest it in government. They're going to invest it in U.S. government bonds. So that free money that we gave them, yeah, we're going to pay them interest on that too.
Right.
What's going to happen is, Israel was like, oh, how dare you strike us? We're going to hit all your oil industry. We're going to destroy your entire oil industry. And then Iran was like, well, if you do that, we're going to shut down the entire oil market, pretty much of the entire world. And everyone in the entire world was like, Israel, are you serious? You're going to collapse the entire world economy right now. That's called terrorism. And then they extorted the United States because it would collapse the U.S. economy right before the election. They extorted the United States as typical terrorists do. And then we're going to give them money so that they don't hurt civilians. So the story is that got leaked. The Biden administration has leaked details, according to Fox News, which I don't know if this is true or not. They've leaked details of the meeting they had with Israel where they finally got Israel to agree to attack legitimate military targets as opposed to targets that would be under the category of terrorism. So we've managed to persuade these terrorists to attack a legitimate military structure. Now, it's a distinction without a difference. The Iranians are fed up. Israel has only one chance to get off this road to destruction, and they got to go on the off-ramp. They can get a media victory with a limited strike that is mostly intended for domestic consumption, but they cannot get away with it if they do some other huge, really embarrassing thing. It's all about how it looks. If it looks bad, Iran said, the next attack is just going to be pretty much total destruction of Israel's infrastructure. That's what's going to happen. Israel is going to piss off the Iranians more, and then the Iranians are going to do probably a bigger strike. Now, we should all be praying that this does not happen. We want this de-escalation, right? Bibi is looking for political victory through military means. So he has no idea anything about war. All his military decisions have been terrible from a military point of view. He's a politician. He's not really a warlord type guy. So he needs to create a media victory in this Iranian strike. He needs to claim that he did something truly amazing, but the Iranians have to be able to diminish the embarrassment in their own country. And then we will de-escalate. If they embarrass Iran again, Iran's going to push the big red button, and it's going to be like 100 times worse, at least.
Right, and that's what was proven with the Iranian strikes, is they have missiles that the Iron Dome cannot stop. They can hit sort of whatever they want. We don't even really have any official account of what they did hit, because Israel basically made it illegal to report on that. They actually arrested an American journalist for reporting on what some of the targets were under Iran. But when it comes to Lebanon, help me make sense of this headline. Biden's Lebanon envoy is an ex-Israeli soldier who gave Israel the green light to invade Lebanon. So the American representative who apparently gave the green light on behalf of America for Israel to invade Lebanon is himself a Israeli Jew who was born in Jerusalem and is a veteran of the IDF. And it was this advisor that privately told Israel that the U.S. would support its decision to ramp up military pressure against Hezbollah. So we're just being literally run by Israelis who are giving permission to Israel in our name to invade Lebanon. The result of that has been horrific. More than 2,300 people in Lebanon have been killed in Israeli strikes, nearly 75% of them over the last month, according to the health ministry. In the last 3 weeks, more than 100 children were killed and more than 800 were wounded, 400,000 displaced children amongst the 1.2 million people displaced from their homes in Lebanon. So, I mean, this is a this is a big deal, but it's not getting nearly the same attention that Gaza received, of course. But, I mean, is this going to continue? How many more Lebanese civilians are they going to kill before they're satisfied?
That number, has no limit. So that's, nobody cares about that. But basically, that guy Hochstein, he's a diplomat. And historically speaking, since October 7th, he's been real busy. And he's been bringing proposals and all kinds of diplomatic sticks and carrots or whatever they can muster to try to, make something happen or de-escalate or control the situation. And then basically after Hezbollah basically performed so well that Lebanon is kind of not really categorized as a victim anymore, Hezbollah is performing too well. So you can't really call Lebanon a victim. It's just at war. It's just at war. And the home front is just getting bombed. But the soldiers are winning. So so now Amos Hochstein doesn't come with proposals to the Lebanese government anymore. And that was really funny that he actually showed up and they had a huge meeting and he didn't have anything. And it was like, well, why are you here? And he's like, nah, we don't want to negotiate with you guys. You guys are too big for your britches. You guys are causing problems. We actually want to kill you guys. That was it.
It's just crazy.
It's a war. Yeah, so the Biden administration, just like Condoleezza Rice and George Bush in 2006, it's the same stuff all over again. Hezbollah is too big for his britches. Hezbollah is causing a problem for us. You know, they're too sovereign. They're too independent. They have true power that can't be thwarted. You know, they're surviving all the sieges. They're winning battles. They're changing the hearts and minds. They're destroying our image, our brand. Hezbollah's got to go. Well, there really is no way to get rid of Hezbollah because invasion is like a hilarious joke in Lebanon. If anyone knows anything about Lebanon, you know, Lebanon is decades and decades and decades of really intense warfare. So there's like no chance they got these tech startup employees, fighting guys who are born and raised on warfare for three, four generations. It's not going to work. So they got like accountants in Israel's army, accountants, tech entrepreneurs, 22-year-old guy, but they put him as a captain, 22-year-old tech employee, and he's a captain. And they told him, go invade Lebanon. I mean, it's just really sad. Bibi Netanyahu is a terrorist to his own people, to his own army, and to the entire world. So what needs to happen is, Bibi Netanyahu needs to be dealt with. So, but of course, Bibi Netanyahu is just a face. He's held in power by an alliance with the far right, who are even more radical than him. So right. Does Bibi even have a choice? As soon as Bibi stops, he's going to go to jail. He's already indicted, right? So the charges are already on the books. He's only immune as long as he's prime minister. He only has emergency powers to prevent an election as long as there's a war. Now, we're going to say, oh, Bibi's such a bad guy. This situation sounds like they got Bibi by the balls. So who's really behind it all? I wouldn't be surprised if Biden is a much bigger role in this than everyone thinks, since Biden has been personally invested in destroying greater Syria and the greater Israel and promoting the greater Israel project his entire career. So we just forget that. We just imagine he hasn't been there. No, he's been there. He's been there. So he's personally invested in destroying Hezbollah. He hates these guys. He's a hardcore Zionist. So, yeah, they're not going to be able to destroy Hezbollah. That's a total joke. What's going on in Lebanon is Lebanese people are being told, help each other out. One-fourth of the country has fled from the war. So one out of every four Lebanese person is a refugee in their own country. Within Lebanon, it's all about donations, generosity, opening up your house, giving shelter, food, and caring for the displaced, letting the kids have school, and withstanding the massacres and just letting our soldiers, do their thing. And so Lebanon is going to be fine. Nobody cares, about the Lebanese civilians dying. And well, whatever, we're going to win. So that doesn't matter, right? So we're not victims. It doesn't really matter. What people should be worried about is the United States getting involved in Syria. That's real dirty stuff that they're not telling you guys. They have been dying to overthrow the Syrian government. And the news that ISIS is coming back through Turkey, that they're doing that play all over again, this is obviously for greater Israel. This is obviously part of weakening the resistance through the flank. That's the same play they already tried and it failed spectacularly. But what can they do different is 50,000 United States Marines or whatever in the amphibious landing force, or no, not 50,000, I think just 5,000 actually. Yeah, 50,000 is what they got stationed in Azerbaijan north of Iran. They want to invade Iran with 50,000 guys. They want to invade Syria with 5,000 guys. Does that sound like enough guys?
Right.
I don't think so.
Well, okay, so and I do want to get to other callers, but yeah, this stuff is obviously super important. One thing I wanted to ask was, yesterday I had a story where they were actually bombing in North Lebanon. I was under the impression that all of the combat against Hezbollah and in Lebanon was in the south of the country. Are they bombing in the north of Lebanon? And is this a nationwide thing, or are they sticking to the south mostly?
So because one-fourth of the nation is refugees, the entire remaining three-fourths opened up their homes all over the country. This is a town that was bombed. This is actually quite a big deal in Lebanon because it's actually a Christian town. It's pretty close to where I'm from, and it's in North Lebanon. It's generally a tourist place, a peaceful place. It's like saying someone bombed like Tuscany or like Lombardy. I mean, it's just like villas and like wine, you know, wine vineyards and like hills. And like it's really strange for anyone to bomb that place. And the story Israel told everyone is we don't want you to give refuge to the 1 million displaced. If you give them refuge, we'll bomb the hotel, the hostel, the house, whatever the refugees are in. That's what they did. They just bombed where the refugees are.
Wow.
And they're not really refugees. It's just other Lebanese people in Lebanon, internally displaced.
Right.
So
right.
It's just a collective punishment to try to tell people, don't give assistance to the supporters of Hezbollah because Israel tries to create a civil war. Israel's plan since way back is divide and conquer. So they're trying to make Lebanese people turn on Hezbollah. Again, it's just literally the dumbest strategy ever. All they've done is unify Lebanon more than ever. And, they're definitely losing. It's a decisive defeat against Lebanon. It's not even close. And so the most exciting thing that happened, which we haven't even talked about, Hezbollah hit inside a cafeteria that had a bunch of soldiers. And Hezbollah said, guys, we can do this anytime we want. Consider this a warning. You got to stop killing our civilians. Okay, so Israel targets civilians intentionally, which is terrorism. Hezbollah targets soldiers, which is not terrorism. So the entire world right now, as far as PR or public opinion, it's obviously they're going to say the guy killing civilians is the terrorist. The guy killing the soldiers is not the terrorist. I mean, you know, that's just what's going to happen. So right now, Hezbollah is winning the media war. They look like the good guys. Israel absolutely looks like the bad guys. I mean, it's just common sense. But the operation Hezbollah did is like, totally spectacular. Most people, everyone's kind of really impressed right now. Hezbollah took out 100 Israeli soldiers yesterday in 24 hours. Hezbollah took out 100 Israeli soldiers. They hit a suicide drone into the cafeteria and just blew up like a ton of guys. It was really crazy.
Yeah, and apparently, I wasn't able to verify this, but I've seen it posted a few times. Israel President Isaac Herzog said, quote, human rights organizations must respond to the Hezbollah attack. Attacking our soldiers while they're eating is a war crime.
That's right. That's right, guys. We are evil because we attack the soldiers while they're eating. Well, what I've told everybody, remember what I said a minute ago, nobody cares about Lebanon. Nobody's coming to help Lebanon. Okay, that's fine. But you know what is going to happen is the world is going to get a taste of Lebanese culture, whether they like it or not. So, yeah, you can't just eat in a cafeteria and then come kill our women and children. You are for sure going to blow up. For sure.
Wow. Well, it doesn't look like it's going well, and it looks like, I guess the test now is whether the UN is like a thing or not, because you've got basically every branch of the UN is under attack by Israel and is trying to stop Israel, and they're running roughshod over the whole concept of this international law and order that we're supposedly fighting wars over. Well, thank you very much for the call, John. It's just mind-blowing that this just continues unabated after over a year with no end in sight. Crazy stuff. Final thoughts, John?
Two Irish UN peacekeepers got hurt by Israel. About 20 other UN peacekeepers started having skin rashes and respiratory illnesses because of the gas, off-gassing, just floating with the wind from the white phosphorus that Israel drops directly on women and children. So these poor UN soldiers had to breathe the off-gas of the white phosphorus burning through the bones of the women and children nearby as they're supposedly keeping peace, right? These poor UN soldiers. But so then the world was like, wait, chemical weapons attack on the UN soldiers? No, it wasn't a chemical weapons attack on the UN soldiers. It was a chemical weapons attack on Lebanese people. And just the secondary effects got more news and sympathy than the people directly actually being burned. So the UN has actually come under direct attack by Israel. Israel came out and said, no, we would never do that. We would never do that. And then actually U.S. government came out and said attacking UN soldiers is actually completely unacceptable. And that's actually too far. And that's too much for U.S. They're not going to really be OK with that. That's very bad PR for Israel.
Yeah. It's like as much as I don't like the UN, If it's going to exist, you know, maybe peacekeeping is a valid expression of their authority. But crazy stuff. All right. Thank you so much for the call, John. Really do appreciate it. And definitely have a better handle on what's going on there now. Let's go to some other callers. Let's go to Brad in Oklahoma. Go ahead, Brad. You're on the air about whatever. Apparently, you don't have a topic. So what do you want to talk about, Brad?
What? No, I do.
Okay, good.
You there?
I'm here.
I want to talk about, I want to say that if I'm not on that list of 400,000 of the FBI,
yeah,
I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
I know. I know. How do we get this list?
I think Trump needs to have like a 2A rally. Get about 25 million Americans to surround Washington. I think if we don't take them out of power, I think you're right. It's over. And if we have a civil war, well, I mean, we're not going to have the ability if we just sit on our asses. I mean, I really thought that cutting little kids' dicks off, that would have been a line in the sand, but people are still walking around numb. Most people I know don't. They still, I wear that I Hate Alex Jones shirt. I think that's pretty funny. But people's like, I've had more people say, who's Alex Jones? People just
don't
sleep.
Isn't that crazy? People don't even know who Alex Jones is. It's like, what do they do all day? What do they think about all day? Like, what is so distracting them from just what's going on in the world? Well, thank you very much, you know, for supporting us and you know, wearing that around. What are the reactions that you get? Do people know it's a joke, or do people say, I hate him too? Like, what's the most common reaction you get wearing that shirt around?
The funniest thing is that the left isn't smart enough to know it's reverse psychology. And I'll hear someone say, oh, I hate Alex. Actually, I've heard two people say they hate Alex Jones. And I've had one guy thumbs up, but I've had like three or four people say, who's Alex Jones?
Yeah.
And I'm just, I don't know what world people are in. I think we need to start a thing where people, like when you guys make your videos, make them big enough to fit on a CD under 700 megs so people can pull those off and rip them and start dropping them under people's windshield wipers because,
That's an interesting
I don't
idea.
Know. I think the internet's kind of a, what would you call it? An echo chamber.
Yeah. No, that,
I think
you know
Twitter's
what?
You're pretty open, but.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It is an echo chamber. And the most important thing, the most important reason InfoWars exists is to get this information out to everybody else. And you know what? I was actually thinking about that during when I was gone for the last 2 weeks because there were so many people that were doing really great work in Appalachia and the places that were hit by the hurricanes. And, you know, there was Nick Sotor and I think Glenn Beck went there. And I just kept thinking, man, this is the opportunity where you need an Alex Jones. And it's a shame that we have been prevented from taking part in things like that because of the bankruptcy, because of the, you know, like it's not our fault that we couldn't be there. It's, you know, it just shows the effectiveness of the attacks against us that they've been able to prevent us from, you know, being on the ground at places like this, unfortunately. And I tell you, you know, we're jealous of the people that got to go and be involved. And as much as they were doing really good work and you know, drawing attention to it, how many people outside of our echo chamber were even aware it was going on? How many people outside of the InfoWars audience or the Blaze audience or the, you know, X Spaces, Nick Sotor, Mario Narfall, like how many people in the mainstream world knew what was going on? And it's times like that where you need somebody like Alex Jones to bring the eyes of the media onto the issue. If Alex Jones had shown up and confronted some FEMA people that were, you know, using the, what do they call it, roto washing areas, injuring people by destroying the aid station they'd set up with a helicopter or, you know, whatever, you know, confiscating material, as we've seen report after report of FEMA doing. You know, these reports, we know about them. We try to tell you about them. We try to spread them on our social media. But for the vast majority of, you know, the average population, they don't know what's going on. But if Alex Jones shows up, if Alex Jones causes a scene, suddenly it's going to be covered on CNN. Suddenly they're going to have to talk about it. There's something about Alex Jones getting involved that it would break through to the mainstream media. And again, it shows you the sophistication of their attack. They've been able to hobble us in this way and prevent us from taking to the streets and organizing relief efforts in Appalachia, things like that. we want to do that. We want to continue doing that. They desperately don't want us doing that. But we're very near the end here with InfoWars and its current manifestation. And all I hope is that our audience, who has supported us so powerfully up till now, continues to support us so that we can get back to doing, like, probably the most important thing Alex Jones can do, which is use his celebrity, use the fact that he's like a, it's like Pavlovian, like they can't resist reporting on Alex Jones. And if we were free from under this wet blanket of the lawsuits, we could draw attention to important things that are not breaking out of the echo chamber. And you can help us, you know, make up for what they've done to us by getting this message out to the real world yourself, doing great things like Brad is talking about, wearing the shirts and spreading the info IRL.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
The eugenicists over 100 years ago were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have that communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions are coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, I'll go right out to your phone calls here in just a second. I do want to play a video. Again, it's, you know, it's just one of these things where it's like you think you live in a world where if like a major prominent news magazine gets caught deliberately editing a politician's response, like that would be it. It would be over. It would be a giant scandal. I mean, this is a huge violation of the trust of the American people. And yet nothing happened. Like you can show it. You can prove incontrovertibly that CBS, Sunday news shows or 60 Minutes or whoever just blatantly edits a response. The one from last week was a Kamala Harris answer in the actual broadcast, in the actual show. Her answer was rambling and nonsensical. It was just terrible. And then when they upload the episode, they have the same question asked, and the answer is totally different. They swap answers. She didn't do well, so they edited it for her and cut it up and made it look better. It's such a egregious violation. Like, if you do that, you should like have your broadcast license suspended. Like, that's not okay. Especially not if you're, you know, if you're the Daily Show and you're editing it to be funny, fine. This is like 60 Minutes doing this? That's crazy. And apparently it's happened again. You now have Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, who went on CBS, talk about the hurricane, and they edit out a huge chunk of his answer for the broadcast and don't tell you. So this was posted by Mike Johnson, and this, I guess, is what people are going to have to do. He's recording himself while the interview is happening. So when it broadcasts and it's been edited, he has that raw footage that he can show you what his real answer was. It's like uncharted territory in America. The blatant editing of politicians' answers to serve a political purpose. This is crazy. Here's the video Mike Johnson posted of his the broadcast answer and then his real answer on the other side. Let's watch.
So that's a different accounting than this 2% you say was distributed.
Yeah, so they've obligated some funds, but they've only distributed 2%. The rescue and recovery effort's still going on, and then we address the rest of it.
So that's a different accounting than this 2% you say was distributed.
Yeah, so they've obligated some funds, but they've only distributed 2%. And when I was there on the ground, and you should go, I mean, bring the cameras and talk to the people there. They'll tell you, don't take politicians' words for this or the administration's word. Talk to the people there on the ground. They had not been provided the resources almost 2 weeks out from the storm that they desperately needed. And when I was there, 13 days post the storm hitting that state, people are still being rescued. They're stuck in the higher elevations in the mountains because the roads are down and all the rest. So they need every available resource and all hands on deck. The rescue and recovery effort's still going on. And then we address the rest of it.
Crazy. That is crazy. So that like minute long answer got chopped down to about 5 seconds. Because apparently the elected representative, he doesn't get to talk to the American people. Some faceless editor at CBS gets to decide what is and is not worthy of being heard from the American people. That is a democracy-ending development in our media landscape right there. Out to your phone calls now. Valerie in Kentucky, go ahead. You're on the air. Valerie,
I had to take you off speaker.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I had to take you off speaker, Harrison. Sorry.
My apologies. Go ahead.
Congratulations to you and your wife on your new baby.
Thank you.
We missed you, and I watch you every day, Monday through Friday, and I buy all the products. I have a water filter. I have my Alex Jones Was Right t-shirt. I've donated on GiveSendGo, and only 1% of us do it. Come on, the other 99%. Where are you going to go for your news if InfoWars is shut off? You have got to stand up now. We need this information now more than ever because of the election and then trying to get him certified in January. Trump has got to get in there. I'm in central Kentucky. Everybody needs to. I'm about an hour south of Louisville. Everybody needs to pray Psalm 91 for protection. Get Trump back in office. Keep InfoWars on air.
Well, thank you so much, and just I cannot thank you enough for the support that you've given, and we would not be here without our audience, especially that 1%. And if you want to be part of that 1%, it's not hard. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. You can be, you know, part of this, the beating heart, the engine that keeps everything else afloat. We need more of you, and you know, it's a very small number, as you say, you know, 1%, less than 1%. And just imagine what we could do if it was 3% or 5%. It would be incredible. So thank you so much for your support, Valerie. Any final words before we move on to the next caller?
Just God bless InfoWars with protection and strength, and God bless America, and we're all going to get there together.
Amen, Valerie. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to Tony in Texas. Has the truth about the Dimtards. I like that. Dimitards?
Yeah. Well, I want to correct everybody on the word Democrat. It's not Democrat. It's Dimitard. You take out crat and you simply add tard, and then it makes perfect sense. And another thing, you know, people need to be worried about this. Like, Owen, when you debate or argue with a Dimitard, see, you have to actually lower your IQ below a 60 to be able to talk to a Dimitard, and that's not good, because this is what could happen to you. You could be like one of them, you know, where you're sitting in a corner one day slobbering on yourself with a little helmet on, blowing snot bubbles out your nose.
Yeah, so how do we communicate with it? You know, what I realize is they love people that seem smart. They love people that can spout off stats, and there's, you know, one of the reasons they use language like they do, they have all of these words that are designed to be signals to other people that that they're smart, that they're educated, that they know the lingo, they know the talking points that they're given. They love their rhetoric. They love their weasel words that they use. They love sounding like they're intelligent by repeating things that they've heard people they think are intelligent saying. How do we deal with this? Because we're just trying to get to the truth. We're not trying to use rhetorical trickery to make things sound good when they're bad. Like, how do we just straight talk to these people? Is it even possible at this point?
Oh, you can't talk to them. Everything's a lie. And it's just like I said, they're a bunch of Dimitards. So when they do math, well, you can figure it out. It's like a special needs kid, you know.
They have very special needs indeed.
Yes, they do. And you know what? You know, God help us all, man. If we allow these people to steal this election, you know, just God help us all, because this country, I don't even have words. You say I'm lost for words. We need to take this country back.
Yeah. I'm sick of talking about it, man. I really am. It's not good. And, you know, and on that note, actually, we have a call. Thank you for the call, Tony. We have Bald Eagle in Kansas who called in with the topic, what happens if the left steals the election? I mean, they are clearly setting up for that, Bald Eagle. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I guess my question is what are you going to do?
What are we going to do? I don't know.
What are we going to do? Because they stole it in 20, and that was the first just outright blatant exposure. And we did nothing. We fought them in the justice system, injustice system, as I like to call it. That went nowhere. Nothing has changed since 20. And to use an analogy, if this were two football teams, and they're playing in the championships, and the opposing team, their head coach is actually running the scoreboard. So it doesn't matter how many points we put up there, how many plays we run, how many yards we gather. If they can always adjust the scoreboard to say whatever they want, and we don't do anything after the game, they're going to do it every single time. Just like a petulant child. If you don't correct their behavior, they're going to continue being petulant. So what are we going to do? I hope everybody's prepared. The FBI whistleblower here a couple weeks ago said food, guns, and vote. I agree with two of those. You figure out which one it is.
Yeah, and, you know, I really don't know. I really don't know what the future holds. And just like so many problems in America, it's not that the solution is hard to figure out. It's not that like where there's some insurmountable problem that there's not some Gordian knot that we're trying to untie. It's all obvious. It's all, you know, readily apparent what we should be doing. The people that help to, you know, cast fraudulent votes should be arrested. The election should take place on a single day. We should not have voting machines connected to the internet. Like, it's not hard. Just like, you know, dealing with the immigration system, you deport the immigrants. Like, it's so simple. But then, you know, part of me is just like, well, it's hopeless because everybody in power seems to be on, like, in the machine. They're all on the same side. They're all the enemy. So it's the most frustrating part that, like, all we need is people, not necessarily in the federal government, but in the state governments. We need state AGs to go after these people. We need the state governments, the state legislators, to undo the mail-in ballot boxes that allowed everything to be stolen. I mean, it's obvious what needs to be done. There's just no incentive for the people in power to do it, I guess, which is stupid because they're also suffering. So it's like, even for their own power, even if all they're motivated by is their own congressional seat, well, it's going to get stolen from you if you don't do anything about this. So why are they not doing it? To me, that's the most frustrating thing, is the fact that what needs to be done is not complicated or confusing. It's just the law. It's just doing what the law prescribes and not being a corrupt scumbag and just telling the truth. And we can't do it, apparently. We just can't get people in power to do anything. And it's beyond frustrating. And at the end of the day, it's going to be us that are going to have to do something. And right now they're setting everything to be in place for crushing any nascent outrage when they steal the election. Baker in California is called in about the military. Go ahead, Baker, you're on the air.
Yeah. You know, last week I called in and kind of, you know, spouted my same things. Like, I was just saying how when the New World Order comes to take everything, they're going to use the police and the military to do it. And listen, it's not like, I understand that there are good people in the police and the military, but that's not going to be enough to override. Okay. For every good person in the military or the police, there's probably, you know, 10, 20 other people that are just going to follow their orders. What we're seeing in Ukraine, that's crazy. That's an example of it.
Exactly.
But, you know, I swear sometimes, dude, I get like these direct, I say this a lot, I get these direct downloads and then later I hear about something or something comes up and it's like, dude, I had a feeling that this was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And then, so I'm talking about the military doing that. And then, you know, next thing we find out, they're going to start killing people. Right. Okay. So,
no, it's clear.
I'm kind of blanking.
They telegraph what they're going to do, right? They more or less tell us what their plans are by the things they're putting into place now, just like all the coverage of, you know, Pennsylvania, where they're saying, well, it's going to be a delayed vote count and we're not sure who's going to, and it's, of course, it's, you know, they're not saying this about Wisconsin, although that's another, it's another big sway. They're not saying this about Oregon, right? They're not saying this about Hawaii or Alaska. It just happens to be like the biggest and most important and most up for grabs swing state that they're letting us all know that they're not going to have the results in time. And it's going to look like Trump won and then Biden's going to win this. I mean, they're setting up the narrative for the steal again. And all we can do is catch them on it and tell the truth about it and not back down and not be cowed into. And this is maybe my biggest disappointment with the Trump campaign at this point is their inability to answer that question about the stolen election. Like, it's bad. And I don't get it because they keep being asked it and it keeps, you know, their answers keep giving fodder to the mainstream media. They ask J.D. Vance over and over, did Trump win the 2020 election? And his, like, the stock response they came up with was, I'm not worried about the past. I'm looking to the future. And we're talking about this election. That's not a good answer. You're obviously dodging the question. The answer is not difficult. I'll tell you how to answer it. Okay. They say, J.D. Vance, do you think will you say right now the 2020 election was legit? Do you think that Joe Biden legitimately won? And all he has to say is, there's no way of knowing. They have destroyed our system to the point where we cannot validate whether or not the votes counted are the ones that were cast. It's a broken system. And he was asked during the debate about whether he would certify the election. It's very simple. You just say, well, why do we certify the election? Why were we all there on January 6th, 2021? Why was there a joint session of Congress on that day? Was it this just a rubber stamp thing that we couldn't make a decision? No, it was either to certify or not certify the election. I would have not certified the election in order to get the 10-day grace period where we could have launched an investigation and really determined whether the claims of fraud were legit or not. We were denied that ability. And so at this point, I can't say whether the election was legit or not because the investigations were never done. Bill Barr shut them down, as whistleblowers have told us, as people with firsthand knowledge have attested. The investigations into voter fraud claims were shut down by the federal government. There has been never once claims of fraud adjudicated in a court. Not a single case was ever brought where they were allowed to actually present evidence. That never happened. So how can I say that this election was legitimate when our every attempt to determine whether it was legitimate was shut down and stopped? I don't know. You can phrase it better than that, but you have to have a way of answering it that's not clearly just dodging the question, which is what every answer has been so far. Vance would have asked for new electors instead of certifying the 2020 election. Yeah, that constitutionally he was obliged to do that. It was their obligation to do that. It's why so many of them said they were going to do it on January 6th. And then because of the riot, because the police started firing flashbangs into a peaceful crowd and some FBI agent planted fake pipe bombs outside Kamala Harris's office, suddenly all the people that had previously said, yeah, there's problems with the election, we need to have a 10-day pause and investigation, all of a sudden decided actually it was legit and we have to certify it now. Because, you know, Ashley Babbitt was murdered, so now the election was legit. That makes sense, right? Absurd. Totally absurd. And the reason I'm saying all this is because people are like so scared of not complying with the leftist narrative. They're so scared of, because they think they have to operate within the framework of the election was legitimate, so I can't really question it, but I have to. But I also can't say it was totally legit. It's just like, just say what is true. Just say what you actually believe. Just say, it looks like this election was stolen. It looks like 2020 was stolen. And not just the numbers and the charts and the bellwether counties and the, you know, just mathematical certainty, the interpretations that are used. Was it Benioff? I think it was called Benioff numbers that you can use to determine whether a vote is legitimate. I mean, the evidence is legion. It's massive. It's never been investigated. It's never been adjudicated. It should have been investigated following January 6th, but because of the false flag riot, we never got that opportunity. That was a failure of the Congress and the Senate to uphold their obligation to their citizens to actually ensure that the election results were valid and legitimate. But they can't do that. They're too scared of being called an insurrectionist, being thrown in jail or impeached or whatever, which was the point of the shock and awe arrest campaigns in the first place. And so our country's going to go away forever because people are scared of the media calling them the bad guy. Doug in Kansas, you've called in with about cures for disease. Go ahead, Doug, you're on the air.
I think I got a cure for one disease, monkeypox. Keep it out your butt. And that's a sure cure. I mean, but anyway, if we go back to the garden, they've been fighting us with viruses and stuff, you know, the COVID and all this stuff. But if we go back to the garden when Adam and Eve come out, he got the seeds that started lies in the world, and anyway, that deception started a bunch of lies, and what we need is a truth serum. And I think that might cure a lot of the problems we've had through the centuries, is the fact that we're liars. Everybody lies. Everybody lies a little bit. And but I got kind of got sidetracked. Your last caller guy said, if the election got stolen, what do we do? Well, the good Lord said what to do to live in the world in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, to live a peaceful, quiet life. And are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I do, yes.
Okay, well, when you, from what I understand, when you become a Christian, you become a Jew by adoption. You're adopted in the Jewish family because they were his chosen family to be put on a hill, become a light to the world, to make the world jealous, to draw everybody in to serve Christ. And the way we serve Christ is by being a witness of the fruits of the Spirit. And we all know what the fruits of the Spirit is, you know. And but that devil brought in the lion. And the only way that we're going to get this corrected is to stop the lion.
Yeah.
So I think we need a truth serum to fight back against them with. They're fighting us with disease.
Wouldn't that be great? And, you know, and they've had a truth. They've actually had truth serum since like the 60s. Wouldn't that be revolutionary? What if you could just sit Joe Biden or George Soros or Bill Gates down and just inject them full of what a sodium pentanol or whatever it's called, Harry Potter magic truth serum, and just compel them to answer honestly? What do you think would come out of their mouths? I truly wonder. Thanks for the call, Doug. We got about 2 minutes left in the show, and I want to highlight, maybe we'll have time for a video here real quickly, but two stories that should tell you where we're going as a country and the spiritual underpinnings of the conflicts that we're highlighting with the headlines we read every day. Federal judge rejects parents' request to put straight pride flags in LGBTQIAPS2+ classrooms. Okay, so just so we're clear. Legitimate sexual orientations, lesbian, gay, transgender, bi, queer, intersex, asexual, whatever P stands for, two-spirit, and whatever S stands for, and pedophilia. P stands for pedophilia, I think. I'm pretty sure. Okay? Straight is not one of them. All right? It's from Infowars.com. Double standards between homosexual and heterosexual pride may continue to stand in Denver public schools. What's this? This looks like it's in the same line of what we're talking about. Oregon DEI forestry snitch bust boss for prioritizing qualified candidates over gender identity. Oregon's number two official at the Department of Forestry, Mike Shaw, was placed on administrative leave after the department's former DEI strategy officer, Megan Doniker, complained that Shaw had, quote, looked beyond gender and identity in hiring, seeking only candidates most qualified for the job. This woman actually got her boss placed on leave.
Don't assume her gender. Don't assume her gender.
This creature of indeterminate gender and sexual orientation, this, quote, avid Dungeons and Dragons player got her boss fired because he refused to hire people based on their gender identity and instead chose people based on their own individual merits. I mean, how are you going to protect the forest if you aren't a lesbian? I mean, clearly, the Department of Forestry needs to be headed by a man who loves men. I'm trying to be polite here, folks.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well,
Our sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at the AlexJonesStore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at the AlexJonesStore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at the AlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of brain force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.